Blog Talk Radio.
It's just the same old song and dance, the same old song and dance. Turns out you never cared at all. Turns out you bounced me like a ball. Whoever thought I'd fall for the same old song and dance? It's just the same old smooth routine, the same old moonlit scene. Turns out you only use those eyes simply to sell me all those lies. I really went king size for the same old song and dance. Me with a built-in radar, me with a cushioned heart, winding up number one on the all-time loser's chart. I should forget you, but I won't. Should hate you, but I don't. It didn't turn out like I planned, but if you smiled and waved your hand, I'd go and hire a band and beg for one more chance at the same old song and dance. It didn't turn out just like I planned, but if you smiled and waved your lily white hand, I'd go out and hire a band and beg for one more chance at the same old.
Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I'm Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron on the Facebook, the Matthew Aaron Show on the YouTube, and I watched Men of a Certain Age last night. Those are all my plugs. Go ahead, Lee.
I'm Lee. I don't have any of those things. Hello.
Hi, I'm Katie Rose Cronin.
Is that all?
That's all I have to say.
All right, so do we take Lenny's phone call here?
All right. Let's open with a Lenny call.
Lenny!
I didn't know I pressed one.
You didn't know you pressed one? What was that? What does that mean, press one?
No, I was just calling in to listen to the show when I'm on my way out by you.
Oh, well, you might as well stay on now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, Lenny, I need you to explain something to Katie Rose.
Yeah, we want to hear this.
Hi, Lenny.
Hi, Katie. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
So it seems that Adam's girlfriend and Adam's girlfriend's sister were mortified by you the other day.
They were mortified?
Mortified was the word I heard.
Oh, so does this mean I'm able to see their sister now?
No, that's a big X-nay on the CA. For some reason, they think she may be really evil, but just not evil enough.
Oh, so I've out-eviled the evil sister.
I guess so. I guess they did not know what evil really was, and then they met you. It was like,
well, then
hey,
I'm fine with that.
Their sister's like Slimer, but then they went and hung out with Gozer, and then they really found out what evil is.
Yeah. They didn't know Zool.
Yeah, no. Now, Lenny, Katie Rose wants to know what your five steps of dating are.
Yeah, explain this
to
us.
I'm interested to hear this.
Well, Okay, I have 5 steps of dating. It's talking, seeing, dating, together, boyfriend, girlfriend.
So elaborate on each of those.
Yeah.
Well, talking is kind of like, oh, you just met the girl.
He has the show in the background. Are you listening?
What was that?
To yourself?
Yeah,
are you listening to yourself on the show, Lenny?
Oh shit! Hold on. No, I got. Hold on.
You forgot.
Hold on. All right.
Hair's falling over.
Yeah, don't crash.
No, what happens is I plugged it into my car radio because I was listening.
I almost dropped my sandwich in the toilet.
Oh, let's hope Annabelle doesn't listen till like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, really.
Go ahead, Lenny. What's your 5 steps to dating?
No, but elaborate.
Yeah.
Each step has varying degrees of time. I mean, to go from talking to boyfriend, girlfriend can easily take a year and a half. But there is also the expedited process if you really like the girl. But the minimal time for that is still 6 to 8 months. Basically, talking is you just meet the girl, you go out a couple times, you have fun, you bullshit, you hang out, you have a drink. You don't really buy her anything. I mean, you buy her a drink or, you know, you buy her a light meal, but nothing too serious. You don't even pick her up during this stage. You kind of just meet her at a given location.
No.
Ridiculous.
Now, Lenny, you do know you need to save these 5 steps because we're going to talk to Annabelle with you. Annabelle,
okay. She
has her relationship book out, so we need you to explain to Annabelle your 5 steps of dating.
I will. I'm on the road now, so I should be there in hopefully half hour.
Okay, perfect, because we can hold off on the rest of your steps for the moment.
Yeah,
I want Annabelle to hear this real bad.
Yeah, and I want a slow build to the crescendo that I think this is going to be. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Annabelle may lose her mind by the end of the 5th step. So why are these two women mortified to you? What happened? I thought it went well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought it was very nice.
Minus the whole thrusting part, maybe.
The whole what?
When you were explaining your thrust.
No. I was saying with all this thrust, it don't matter how good looking the other guy is. Just because the guy's sitting in the fucking gym all day.
Thinks he's better than you?
Is there something to
that? Yeah, what? Because you don't got a real fucking job? You could sit in a gym all day? Read a fucking book. Go do some work with your life. Make some money.
This is going to be the Lenny Love Advice Show.
Yeah, right.
Pete Rose, talk to Lenny.
I don't think I really have anything to say to him about it.
No, wait.
I'm appalled.
Let's be civil, all right? Now, you speak to his 5 principles of dating. Now, what do you think about that, Katie Rose?
The time period, I think, is the most fascinating. Like, why would it take that long? You're just going to see her for a year and a half and buy her a couple of light meals and drinks? Like, what does that even mean?
No. You only got through the talking stage.
Yeah, well.
Then there's seeing and everything else that picks up after that. And sex is acceptable at any of those stages. But as you get older, you have to be more serious with who you're actually considering settling down with.
Hey,
thus the need for the elongated stage. The sad thing is I've had these since college.
Well, I still want to know what's the difference between talking and seeing. Do you, like, just talk to her on the phone for a year and a half? Then you take
No. Talking, it's the random encounters here, there, whatever. Seeing, you're allowed to do the drunken text messages, like the booty call. Like, hey, where you at, you know? You're able to do that. And during seeing, you're also able to do the whole meet some of my friends, maybe one or two, you know. And then during the dating stage, you go from, the simple meals last through talking and seeing. Dating is where you actually have a full sit-down meal, nice time, a movie.
At what point in time?
First of all, why didn't I ever hear Dr. Drew talk about any of this?
Because Dr. Drew's no Dr. Len.
Yeah, right. I like how you just fully fleshed out. Like, you could answer any question about it.
As far as romance.
I feel like he has it written down on a piece of paper.
He has his own book coming out. His book's You Say Tomato, I Say I'll Eat It.
No. My book is Power, Pizza, and Politics, The Story of Lenny Cannata.
Yes.
He really had that ready.
That's even better.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
For power politics and pizza.
All right. Listeners, Matt is a Second City alumnus, and Lenny had something that was fun. He came up with something way better than Matt came up with.
No, yeah. I can't do what Lenny does. Oh. That's a gift.
Don't you think he's thought about it, though?
Yeah. He sits at home on his throne in the bathroom
and
thinks, what's the name of my book? The three P's. Power, pizza, and politics. Yes.
What a prosciutto. All right, it'll have to be three.
Oh, yeah, why is it not power, prosciutto, and politics?
I already covered a food.
Because that's the sequel.
Oh, okay, it's the equal. That's the sequel. Oh, I'm sorry, sequel. Oh, I'm glad he thinks he's going to have two books.
Yeah, right.
This guy was just playing for one book, not two.
Yeah, the second one.
You know what the real name of the book will be? Fucking like Diary of a Madman or something.
Diarrhea of a Madman?
Yeah.
Diarrhea? Oh, I like that too.
Couldn't get a power in politics in the second book. Placement, prosciutto, and poontang.
I was totally
going to
say that.
Well, I thought we were saving all this for fucking Annabelle.
There you go.
Yeah, we are saving all of it, Lenny. Don't you worry. We're saving it. So what else is going on, Lenny?
Oh, I'm spent.
Where's the Chaz interview?
I'm waiting on you. Don't want to be here for it? So you can talk about it?
I'm on the phone to play it. I mean, because what time's Annabelle calling in?
9 o'clock, 20 minutes.
Okay, well, I'm in the expressway. Hold on, then.
Right.
You guys, listen, discuss amongst yourselves. I'll be there shortly.
All right.
Going through. Are you hanging up, that means?
I'm hanging up.
All right. Don't get into an accident, you Mortadell.
I hung up. why? What's going on?
Oh, my God. What's happening?
Oh, I don't know. You never know. You really don't.
Oh.
Like,
very
bad. Yeah, okay. That's great.
Lee,
do you have something to talk about while I set something up?
Oh,
for the love of God!
Oh.
You totally do, just go.
All right, why don't I say tomorrow we're going on a little Matthew Aaron Show field trip.
Oh, tell Katie about this.
It is going
Katie
to be...
Rose,
it
you
is
need
going
to hear
to be
about this.
Till the Triple X Exotic Expo at Rosemont. It'll be a convention related to all things smut. And we have some passes as media... As distinguished members of the elite media, we have passes to go for the purposes of documenting and journalism and that kind of stuff backstage and try and mingle with some porn people who might try to bang us.
Mingling.
Are you
going to
be
porn.
Taping this?
We should.
I'm going to bring a digital recorder, and basically what I'm going to do is ask them all if they're going to fuck me. And when it's like, and then we'll play
and
it
then when
back,
they say
no,
are
no,
you just going to
no,
cut that?
No, no, yeah. No, no, no. We're just going to put together a no.
But no, listen, when they say no, point at me and be like, what about Lee?
Yeah, they all change. They'll be like, oh, the guy with the Brillo head over you, yeah.
So is this like products or just people or what is it? Is
all
it an
of
award?
The above seminars. Yeah, they'll teach you how to like,
You know what? I hope they'll have be able to buy a rubber blowjob machine that works.
Well, as I've told people, I'm not a pervert. I'm a member of the media.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why they're going to talk to us. We're broadcast journalists.
We're members of the
you're
media.
You're going to have like a raging heart on the entire time, so I think you are a pervert.
So I shouldn't wear sweatpants tomorrow?
No.
Right.
I'll put them away. Yeah, the tracksuit.
Right.
Are you going to wear a tracksuit tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, Pat Tobias. What do you want, Pat Tobias?
You know what? I am going to wear a members-only jacket over some mesh tees and some tight cargo shorts. Yeah.
I like that look.
Oh, it sounds hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to look forward to seeing Lee in that number, that little song and dance.
I got a banana warmer, and I got a pair of
briefs. A banana warmer?
A banana warmer, and I got a pair of briefs that says Home of the Whopper on it. So that, I think.
Is there drinking
are those
involved
the briefs?
In this?
Wait, no drinking.
Oh.
We have a show tomorrow
well,
night.
During, I'm going to be.
So it's going to be extra creepy.
I'm going to be pre-gaming it a little bit. I don't know about you guys.
Now, were you wearing those Home of the Whopper briefs while eating McDonald's shirtless
yes.
and having women take pictures of you?
No, because that's McDonald's. That would have been kind of a. That's a Home of the Whopper is Burger King.
I know that, but why were you. I'm saying that would have been funny.
Yeah. I wasn't wearing it when the girl burst in my room and took pictures of me eating McDonald's drunk in my underwear. All right?
Are you still mooning over her?
A little bit.
Oh yeah, what's going on?
Where's the frame in your bedroom?
Well, I want to know what's going on.
Is it right by your bed?
Oh, where did you put the frame?
It's on my desk, like next to pictures of my family and my dog.
What? Next to pictures of your family and your dog? How'd you move up to number 3 in that amount of time?
It's not.
Or is the dog 3?
It's not her. It's just the friendship gesture. Who else would?
It was kind of an empty slot.
Right. No, actually what happened with her is kind of sad. She hooked up with somebody that I know and not me. I thought she was going to, so it's I blew it.
Oddly enough, I told you she wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think you blew it. I just think Katie Rose and I were right that she wasn't.
It wasn't going to happen.
All right, well, you know, I value your guys' opinion. You know?
But, I mean, if it makes you feel better to think she was into you and you blew it, if that kind of like puts the twist on it you need, I'll back it.
Okay.
Whatever helps you sleep at
night. You say tomato, I say whatever the fuck it is.
I say I say ipso facto this.
Ipso facto this, you pissy little bitch.
Oh, God. Sipowicz, thank you.
Andy Sipowicz. Yeah.
So I can't wait
to get Lenny on with Annabelle, by the way.
Yeah. I think this is going to be an epic.
Edge of my seat.
Yeah, I think it's going to be must-hear podcast.
Odds are Annabelle tells Lenny off.
You know what? I think she's going to have a sense of humor about it.
No, I think so too. But odds that she embarrasses Lenny, like rips
on
him.
Oh, yeah.
She won't embarrass Lenny before Lenny takes the opportunity to embarrass the both of them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I hope she's really listening now. Oh, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm so glad I'm doing this program.
Oh, God.
This little gem of a program.
Oh,
all right. So, did you see that Broadway book today?
Yeah.
Tracy Pendergast.
Tracy Pendergast is going to be on the show.
Steve Weirich booked. Good job.
Yeah. Very
good job, Steve.
Very
credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
And Timmy Gibbons, executive producer of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So many Curb Your Enthusiasm people on the show.
Well, and then we have the whole King of Queens set up the next 2 weeks.
Right.
And we've hit Everybody Loves Raymond.
Right.
Yeah, so we're having all the classics of the last decade. We had Ken Levine, Cheers, Frasier.
Uh-huh.
We only get the best on this show.
We do, yeah.
We don't go for... I mean, Yes, Dear was fun and all, but... Yeah, and then we get Alex Luisi sitting in. Which
sometimes.
We have a fan who doesn't listen on his computer and takes a rating away from us. That's nice.
Yeah, well, it's all right.
Enjoyable.
Anyway...
I felt really bad when we were talking to Jim McCarron's yesterday, and I ripped on Yes, Dear, and he's like, he's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, right.
But I've never seen it either.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt better at that point.
Yeah, right.
I love how this guy's a good friend of him's, Kirschenbaum, but then Alan Kirschenbaum, but then he never saw his show.
Yeah.
That little program.
Right. You know what? I don't have it in me to watch lots of multi-camera sitcoms that are like...
Oh, I do. I could watch them all day. It has to be the right ones.
Yeah.
Yes, Dear is something. Look, I'm not as appalled by it as Bruce Fretz was.
Yeah. I'm with Bruce.
Yeah, I figured you would be with Bruce. But to me, it's like, and it's same with According to Jim. I'm not as appalled by it as Bruce Fretz is.
Yeah.
I've seen worse.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not my.
What's worse? What do you think is worse?
Most of the shows that get canceled. Hey, at least it could be Single Guy and Caroline in the City reruns on TBS. And that's a little worse. I mean, Leah Thompson looks good and all, but... Or what's the one that Kirstie Alley did? Victoria's Closet or whatever?
Veronica's Closet.
I bet Annabelle was on one of these shows we're ripping on.
Yeah.
Fuck, I should watch my mouth.
Is there anything we could say right now that won't probably rouse and irritate Annabelle?
Are you thinking she's one of those types?
No, she's not, but I feel like we have no... I mean, we're just... we can't get it. We're already...
Look, I was worried...
We're digging a hole.
We got Chaz Palminteri on after Annabelle, and I was worried that this would be back-to-back ball busters, but the interview with Chaz went fairly well.
Yeah.
I think people are going to be very entertained by it.
The interview that when it's going on, Katie Rose and I are just going to walk out of the room the whole time, and Lenny's magically going to be
there. Yeah, and Lenny's magically going to be in the room, and it's magically going to be 2 p.m. Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lenny's going to be like, beautiful day right now.
No, but the Chaz interview is very... He's got some funny stories.
Yeah.
which, I mean, you, maybe
Look,
you're not expecting
Chaz
funny
fucking
Chaz
fucking Paul Palminteri. You don't like it? Listen to something else. People.
Well, I mean, I think you get this idea, though, that when you interview him, you're going to get like Tony Soprano.
No, he's not.
And he's going to sit there silently with, or like Bob De Niro.
Just breathing, like you could hear his
and,
breathing.
And
you
look,
could hear James Gandolfini's breathing on The Sopranos. So
and,
it's just going to be
right.
like that.
And I'm not ripping Bob De Niro. That's like one of Chaz's best friends. But when Bob was on Letterman. And he said, like, six words.
Right.
Like, that's what I was afraid
right.
of.
Right. And, not even having Dustin Hoffman
right.
there could make
right.
it.
Right. And considering De Niro is Chaz's mentor.
Right.
That made me go, okay, this guy's going to come on the phone and just say yes and no.
Right.
And I was a little worried, but it went very well. People should tune in for that. And we're going to have Annabelle on, and yeah, I'll call her in 10 minutes.
Right. The example of De Niro, I think, is an anomaly because Italians talk.
I agree, minus the fact that if he's Chaz's mentor.
Right.
So you usually expect in mentorship situations, someone's going to take on some traits of the other person.
Yeah, but it's in his career, not life.
Well, maybe, though. You never know. I was a little worried. Chaz doesn't do a lot of interviews. As
yeah.
you'll see on YouTube, there's not many Chaz interviews.
Yeah.
And there's no Gary Sinise interviews, and we're interviewing Gary Monday, and that should be...
That's for you heard it here, people.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, next week we got Gary Sinise. Tuesday, I believe we have someone, but it's not confirmed. I can't say who yet.
Okay.
But it's a good guest. Wednesday, Rock Rubin, who wrote Zookeeper, that comes out Friday with Kevin James. And maybe a surprise or two. And then Thursday, we have...
I like these things that are surprises to even us.
Sam Levine. I don't tell anyone anything. Caesar always cries to me that I don't tell him stuff. I go, I don't tell anyone anything.
Why is that?
You know, it just seems like, why? Just trust me. It'll
I
be good.
That. Yeah.
Sometimes you got to play it close to the vest.
Just trust me. It'll be good. Well, I learned a lesson, especially in L.A. You know what the best way to keep a secret is?
Don't tell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, tell one person, maybe.
Yeah.
You know why I tell Tobias everything? He's a hermit. He sits at home. He doesn't see nobody. I know that my secrets are safe with Tobias.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
Our booker. And you'll never see him.
I know that.
You'll never see him. He'll never come out. No.
As far as we know, he doesn't really even exist.
He may not.
He's like a machine sitting at a chair.
No, he's a jolly Irishman. He's alive and well.
All right.
He does a great job. He's booking like crazy, too. I'm very pumped about Janet Reitman next month on August 3rd.
Yeah.
The Inside Scientology book.
Yeah, I can't wait for
that. Oh, I love a little Scientology.
Scientology is fascinating to me.
Really?
Yeah,
we're going to have a little talk.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm really into it, big time. Big time. I've read everything about it.
Yeah.
Really?
And I don't know. I'm only a level 3, though, so I can't really.
Well, like, what kind of books interest you? Like, what are you interested in, KRC?
I mean, I just read random crap that my mom tells me.
Like, but are you
like
into, like, fiction, though, or nonfiction?
Doesn't even matter.
Really?
So what's the last nonfiction book you read
that
was really
good? Do you stick mostly with the New York Times bestseller list?
No, my gosh.
No.
They have
the book club, though.
I'm reading something called Pull the Moon, and it's, like, about a woman running away from home. It's nothing.
How many of
I go
those,
through phases.
Yeah, how many of those erotic novels have you read?
Plenty.
Really?
No, never. Oh, I take that back. There's one called Tully that I read in high school, and I was like, what's this?
Yeah, what is that?
At a point, I was like, I should hide this. I don't want to.
They made a movie out of that.
It's that
they
good?
Did?
Yeah, with Lauren Ambrose.
I don't know how that is.
I love how Lee makes up movies.
Oh.
He just makes them up, and people haven't seen
No
one's seen it.
Nope.
No one. No one. He never
it
references.
Faithful
listeners, please IMDb these titles and prove Matt wrong.
He's never referenced anything anyone's ever seen.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Ever.
Yeah, right.
Ever. But that makes his references really good because no one could be like, that's a terrible reference. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, when someone calls
Lauren
in and say, hey, Lee's references are bullshit, I'll stop making them. But that's not going to
happen.
No,
but I love how you
not.
Said Lauren Ambrose. Like, I know who that is.
From 6 Feet Under? And
oh, okay. And, yeah, I do, actually. Now, the younger one.
Yeah.
Like, reddish hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I know who that broad is.
I think you're still making
she's
it
She's a cutie, I think. I kind of remember her being cute.
Yeah, she's good looking. Yeah.
I think her and I would get to step 3 pretty quick.
Yeah.
Pretty quick. Within a year.
Remember she was a girl locked in the bathroom with Seth Green and Can't Hardly Wait?
Oh, she is so not attractive.
I love how that movie, you're all over. She dialed it in the brain right away. She's like, that's
I just picture her awful haircut.
Oh, yeah,
she looked like a man.
Doesn't she have freckles?
She doesn't look like
I
that anymore.
Freckles.
Doesn't she have short hair, though, too? But no, she has, like, the ones that are, like, popping. Yeah. Like,
if you're not into redheads, I can't convince you.
Doesn't
that,
she have short hair sometimes, too, though? I don't
sometimes.
Like
super
manly.
No. Oh, get out of here.
Now Lee's just mad because she'll never come on the show.
I know.
Now.
God damn it, you guys.
But it's not going to happen.
Damn it.
Oh, Pat Tobias is typing to me. I'm pretty sure it's we're not getting Lauren Ambrose.
Damn it. Damn you guys.
She's now going to be off the list.
All right.
Well, we can't risk someone coming on the show and then hearing our shit talk in the
right.
in the archives.
Right.
Like Jim Belushi may not be on here anytime
soon. I can live with that.
Oh. So we're about to have Annabelle on in a couple minutes. Her book is called I Say Tomato. No, wait. You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in paperback. Is in paperback. Came out in paperback a few months ago, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a relationship book. I believe she's been married to her husband for 14 years.
Okay.
And this is basically how their marriage survives day to day. Like the tips and the...
Is this like a second marriage for each of them, do you know?
I believe it's her second. I do believe it's her second. And I assume because he's in Hollywood and he's a writer in Hollywood, it's his second or fifth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So
closer to five.
Yeah.
Than the yeah.
They're not like us Midwest folks. We get married at 16.
It's
and
his second to last.
Live forever together.
It's his penultimate marriage.
Yeah, his penultimate. Mike Royce would like that word usage right there. He's a big fan of the penultimate.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested in having this conversation with Annabelle because she's also, first of all, she's a writer too, and she writes for everything. And I'm gonna bring up her columns right now. I was reading a bunch of them today, and I've been following her for a long time. She just did an appearance on Bill Maher, which I know myself, and I know Lee saw that, right? Did you see her appearance on Bill Maher?
Was it really recently?
It was a few weeks ago.
I haven't watched Bill Maher in like 5 weeks.
All right, well, let me give you an idea about Annabelle. She writes for NPR. She writes for the L.A. Times. She writes for Marie Claire. She writes for the L.A. Times magazine. She writes for Men's Health, Glamour, Glow. I don't know what Glow is.
I don't either.
G-L-O, Glow. And she's always on NPR. She's a frequent contributor on the Nipper. And, you know, she's a very talented actress. She's done a lot of acting. And she's at the UCB tomorrow.
Okay.
Acting with the state.
Cool.
I believe. I want to say that's true. I may be lying. I could have made that up.
Hmm.
Maybe I didn't. She's also starring in Jurassic Park 4. That I made up.
Yeah, right.
That
I made say, up. Really?
I was like, wow.
Oh, but her documentary, Fired, she did. She got fired from a Woody Allen movie, and we're going to get into this
And that
with
was
her.
Based on, yeah.
So she did this documentary to kind of like for, I don't know, I would say psychologically.
Right. I've seen it.
She did this documentary where she went around to all her Hollywood friends, and they all told stories about how they were fired. And she also did it on Broadway, I believe, too. Lee, is that totally correct, or am I making more
stuff
up?
I don't know about
up?
The Broadway show.
I'm telling you it was on Broadway. And Melvin Goes to Dinner, which, Lee, tell us about Melvin Goes to Dinner, please.
Which is a really kind of a very, very good little independent movie based on a play by a guy named Michael Blyden. And Bob Odenkirk from Mr. Show directed the movie. It has cameos from David Cross and Jack Black. It's a very funny little thing. It's a good flick.
And you may also remember her from Dinner in a Movie.
Yes.
She on TBS.
Anytime, before I bought the movies, anytime I was watching the James Bond marathon on the Superstation, it was always, there was always the Dinner in the Movie there. And the James Bond movies are what got me into movies when I would watch those
right.
old Connery ones. That's what ignited the flame.
When didn't she also have a show on the Green Network or whatever called Wasted? I believe she may still. She went through like other people's trash.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a good idea for a show, I think.
Yeah, and she was in Daddy Daycare, which I watched some of today.
Oh.
And I've seen like 50 times.
She was in that?
Yeah.
I saw that movie.
Well, I'm sure you did.
I don't remember her being
sure,
in it.
I'm sure that's in Lee's top 10.
Yeah.
Did you see it at Facets, Lee? Daddy Daycare?
No, I saw it at a mall movie theater in Olympia, Washington that showed four movies at a time that were probably, like, they must have deliberately went out of their way to pick the worst things that they could get. And I remember Angelica Houston being humiliated in that movie.
Yes.
But not...
Humiliated? Oh, you mean her character.
Right. Well,
of course not Angelica herself, because the movie was fantastic.
Yeah. You know what? It really was.
I like Eddie Murphy.
It was a taut, yeah.
I'm an Eddie Murphy guy.
Yeah. Eddie...
Imagine That was great.
Yeah.
I was a big fan.
Yeah.
I like Dr. Doolittle.
Oh,
boy. I'm a big fan of The Clumps.
Oh, my.
What do you
like it better than the first one, huh?
The guy, like, it's like Sandler Murphy to me, actor-wise.
Some people may rip on that. What about Haunted Mansion and Pluto Nash? You like those two? Silence. Okay.
Just smiling.
He's had better.
Okay, all right.
But, I mean, those are three-star efforts.
I have to admit, I love Bowfinger. That movie's fantastic.
All right, we should be calling Annibal. Instead, we're having an Eddie Murphy 90s and 2000 movie diatribe.
Yeah, save this.
All right, let's call Annabelle. I'm kind of nervous. I don't get nervous before these things, but...
With her, you are?
She's so smart.
Mm.
And I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
I think all three of us might almost be as smart as she is.
Well, we'll find out.
Hey.
Is this Annabelle?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I think I sounded sexy there, actually. All right, Annabelle.
Really? Was that the sexy voice?
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was really sexy.
Thank you. I'm Matthew Aaron. Sitting with me is Lee Capreas.
Hi, I'm Lee. Hi, Annabelle. Thanks for doing the show.
And
hey,
Kate
Lee. How's it going?
Good.
And Katie Rose Crone.
Hi, Annabelle.
Hey.
And we'll be joined by our friend Lenny soon, who wants to go over with you his dating tips. You have such a great book about relationships that maybe Lenny could learn a thing or two from you, or maybe you will learn a thing or five from Lenny.
maybe I will. You know, I like to call the book a self-hurt book. Everything in it is like, it's like the don't do this, don't do that. It tells you really what not to do. So,
and the book, if you
learn by someone's, you know, the best people to learn by, it's best to learn by example. And for me, like, just don't do whatever I've done. So I'm a great example of everything not to do.
Well, the book is You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up. And it's in paperback right now. That's how popular it was. It went to paperback. Isn't that like, doesn't that mean popular? Paperback or no?
It does mean popular. It's so funny, you know, because so many people have talked about, you know, it's just the end of books. You know, so it's like going to paperback is, yes, we made it to another dying media.
Maybe they'll radio broadcast soon.
Woohoo! You know, maybe we'll make it to like we'll be on Morse code. Woo!
Yeah.
Maybe she'll do the Matthew Aaron show. Oh, wait!
Right. Now, you know what? I actually still, and of course you can get You Say Tomato on, you know, ebook. I mean, you can get it on all these different platforms. I'm old school. I like to hold the book in my hand. And actually, there's a statistic which says that 70% of Americans read in the bathtub. That's where they do most of their reading, or in the bathroom. And I just think that, you know, if I had a Kindle, which I don't right now, or a Nook, I would be dropping it in the toilet. So I can't be trusted with that kind of thing. That's where I do my reading. So hence, I need the old-fashioned paper.
Well, I'm not as smart as you, Annabelle. So I'm not as smart as you. And I was a little nervous about this because you're too intelligent. But you say... 70% of the people are reading books in the bathtub.
Yes.
This is how lack of intelligent I am.
Or bathroom.
Oh, bathroom.
In the tub. I'm like, do Americans take baths?
Because all I was thinking about were naked women with bubbles in a bathtub reading a book.
Or
and
me.
I got really turned on. And Annabelle.
Oh, well, listen, if that makes you turned on, you know, I say life is very hard. Whatever fantasy one needs, while sleeping, while waking, you know. It's go for it. Just if that's your fantasy. Actually meant the bathroom.
It's not as sexy,
let's face it.
Are people really finishing books in the bathroom?
Finishing a book in the bathroom, they're reading. We didn't talk about finishing a book. No one finishes books in America. Oh, God, no.
But
you have to make the first page really good.
And Ann Coulter's publicist is sending me her book. I'm sure I'm going to read all of it.
Absolutely.
We might have her on the show.
We do camping for, like, Kindle. and not that kind of Kindle, you know. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, Kindling. I'm not a camping person.
She's a joy. She's a joy. We're big fans, yeah.
You know what? If people like Ann Coulter weren't out there, you know, it would make life less entertaining. I mean, I am so grateful for Michelle Bachmann, as long as she doesn't become president. I mean, she's fun. You can't make up the things she says. When she was in Waterloo, Iowa the other day, and she said that John Wayne was born there, but she meant John Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne.
I mean, come on, people. This is entertaining.
Too good. It's too good.
You can't make up a gaffe like that.
Well, I like to say about Ann Coulter, you know, if Steve and I, we were watching a Cheers episode today, and how would we know who the winners are without knowing who the losers are?
Right. Well, but see,
this is why it's actually, you know, if you're ever down, you're depressed, and you think, you know, why go on living? You know, all you have to do is open up the paper, turn on your computer, and there's Anthony Weiner with his wiener on the internet. I mean, you know, it's just like, it's just too much fun.
Well, I read an article of yours, Annabelle. I read an article of yours on Huffington Post, because you write for everywhere, as we were speaking of earlier.
Yeah.
You are just a writing machine. You seem kind of upset about the Anthony Weiner thing for the same reason I did. It was too easy of a joke.
It was too easy of a joke. And also, if you're not naked on the internet, what are you doing on the internet?
Yeah, really?
Everyone's naked on the internet. It's kind of embarrassing to be on the internet. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you spend enough time, if you're living and breathing, if you have, there's not one naked picture of you out there, you must not be someone of interest. That's all I can say.
There's no reason to Skype unless you're in the nude.
Clearly. I think that, you know, in 10 years, people will be laughing or crying, as it may be, about how we let so many good people. I mean, I did have to say, you know, Anthony Weiner did vote in a way that I appreciated. Yeah. And we're letting all these people go because of this ridiculous purient sensibility about, he put a picture of his penis on the internet. You can't do that. I mean, I think in 10 years we'll just be laughing about this. You know, it just will seem so arcane. It will seem so ridiculous.
Well, you know, Anthony Weiner posts pictures of himself naked, and he's going to get kicked out of office, and, you know, Newt Gingrich cheats on his cancer-stricken wife, and he's running for president.
Right.
Welcome to
I don't think that's going to last.
No.
I just don't think that's going to last long. No. I think that's not going so well. Hey, say, have you heard? That's not going so well.
No,
everyone quit his campaign. His suit quit or something. I don't know.
That's what I heard. Everyone quit. Everyone walked out on him.
Well, Michelle Bach is going to be around, though. That's the thing, because she's serious, and she believes what she's saying.
She has smart people working for her now, though, too.
And she, pictures of her, like, you see, like, going back to, like, when she started in politics, she hasn't aged a day. It's...
Yeah, well, you know, actually, when she first started, maybe she was 15. I don't know. She looked really, really young. It's true. I don't know. It's all mystifying, but it is rather entertaining. And I say, thank goodness for these people. Just when you think there's going to be a slow news day or, oh, it's summer, they just give you the biggest crap to, like, you know, laugh at and to make fun of, that it's highly entertaining. So if nothing else, it's a laugh. So this upcoming campaign should be really fun. I mean, we have all these characters in it.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. And I wanted to, just to change the topic briefly, for our listeners who are, because we have a kind of a younger male demographic around here, so if they're not totally familiar with Annabelle, I wanted to talk about film you did that was incredibly provocative and interesting. It was a documentary called Fired. And a buddy of mine, Craig Bierko, credits you for getting him on stage. And
That's my documentary, Fired, and it's also a book. And if you're on the internet, you just put Annabelle Gurwitchin Fired or Annabelle Gurwitchin Woody Allen, and you can pull up some footage from the film. And we actually put you can see on YouTube some clips from the film. You can get it at Netflix. We can see a bunch of my favorite comedians. I put up the short versions of their stories. There's Jeff Garlin. There's Andy Borowitz. There's Dana Gould. There's Paul Feig. I mean, you name it, funny person, I've got them telling a story. And what it was, you know, I was hired as an actor to work in a play with Woody Allen. And like my friend Toastmaster Jeffrey Ross said, you were fired from a play? You must have really sucked. Well, I did. I totally sucked in front of my, you know, comedic idol, Woody Allen, and he fired me. And it was really crushing, but at the same time as he was firing me, I'm also thinking, when he said to me, you look retarded when you do that, I thought, this is kind of funny. This is crazy. Woody Allen's calling me retarded. This is just kind of, you know, interesting in a way that if it wasn't me, it'd be so funny. Later it was funny after the weeping and drinking and ice cream eating was over. And I started recording people telling their stories about being fired, and we did this live show in New York. And Craig Bierko, who is one of the funniest people on the planet, did that first night. And in order to get Craig on stage telling his story about how basically he fired himself from his own career, because as some people might know, Craig was offered a role in Friends.
Yep.
But instead of doing the show Friends, he did a show called A Good Friend, and that starred him and a monkey.
Yeah, yes.
And that show was, you know, a total turd, but he did it because he wanted to be the star, which is, you know, a lot of people would make that mistake. But, of course, turning down Friends, I mean, that just, that's gotta weigh on you for at least, you know, a decade. And but in order to get Craig to write it, I had to go to his apartment. Craig was in his pajamas, and I said, "Craig, the show's tonight." I mean, he kept telling me he was going to send me the story. But I'm like, "I'm coming over." I go over. He's in his pajamas. He's got like scribbles. It might have been Cyrillic notes on various pieces of toilet paper and pads of paper. And I sat there. He dictated the story. We typed it out. We had to actually. He was living downtown in New York at the time, and we had to. He didn't have a printer. We had to email the story to the theater, who had to print it out while the first person, I think it was Paul Feig, was on, director of Bridesmaids, was on stage doing his story, Craig's story. I mean, talk about, like, you know, hot off the presses. It took so much, and of course he just, you know, brought the house down. It was so amazing. So that is a story of Craig Bierko actually finishing a piece of writing. But this live night that I did turned into a documentary, and it was really, I was so lucky to get just every funny person I knew, including Bob Odenkirk and David Cross and Sarah Silverman. I just got every funny person that I knew to tell their story about being fired, and then I went across the country and I interviewed people about being fired from everything, from UAW workers to, I have Robert Reich, the former labor secretary. And the whole point of this, you know, project was for me to share my humiliation, sure, and exact revenge on Woody Allen, sure, but really it was to give people a chance to realize that, you know, everyone gets fired. Of course, you know, a couple of years later, everyone in the entire country has been fired, and it's like, okay, we get it already.
Right.
You know, we know. But the point was to see how, you know, people that you admire have all gotten fired, and that it's really important to just embrace it and not, you know, just, oh, you know, one door closes, one door opens, one door closes, you know. Because you have to admit, this sucks. It's a... Am I allowed to curse?
Yes. You can motherfuck all you...
It's a fucking nightmare. It sucks. That you're supposed to drink. You're supposed to feel bad. And then, you know, then you get on with your life. But it was really a cathartic experience doing the film. And I've heard from people since I made that film, you know, just all over the country, who it's really like sort of like a badge of honor to be able to share, and as I was fired too, and to just come out and say it, because you know there's this euphemism people used to have, at least, of like, you know, I was laid off, or you know, I was whatever, downsized. No, you were fucking fired. I mean, you know, let's just face it, whether you're downsized, whether you're laid off, whether, you know, that you've been told it's not you, we're just going a different way, you're fired. It still, you know, it still sucks.
No,
that's what that project is about.
Yeah, I bet you get this all the time, but I saw your project after I got fired. I was working at Old Navy. Oh, this is a true story.
You worked at Old Navy?
Yeah, don't all right. It was in my gayer days. So I worked at Old Navy, and I had a job at Hollywood Video, and this film came out. So I'm Navy, and I get fired because I just got tired of hanging shirts and folding shirts whatever. They were giving me a hard time, so I flipped out and I started throwing clothes everywhere.
What?
Yeah, on the ground.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Sad in it. I'm like rolling in it. I wasn't on my bipolar meds at the time. It was real bad. Real bad. So okay, I'm like rolling around in clothes on the ground, just getting fired.
How old were you?
This was 3 years
last
ago.
Last year.
This is like 3 years ago. No, yeah, this is pretty recent. And
that's so funny. You know, Jeff Garland was in his stories. He was like fired 14 times from the same mall. Every store in the mall fired him. He would last one day. It was a clothing store. You can't wear a hanger on your head. You're fired. He could not. He just could not do anything. Paul F. Tompkins has a great story in that.
The story is hilarious. Yeah.
His story about working in retail, how he's stealing things because there's an unspoken rule. You're supposed to, they expect you to steal.
Yeah,
yeah. You're supposed to steal
clothes. And he gets caught. Anyway.
No.
Bill Maher's in it. And it's just like, you know, in the book, it's just it's a story about, you know, humiliation, the shared experience. And my new book, you know, You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up, is also about the humiliation of being in a relationship or a marriage, because there's nothing more humiliating and humbling than, you know, being with someone, living with another human being. It's really hard.
Well, can you tell us, Annabelle, could you give for our listeners like a quick little story out of your book, like something that you wrote about in there? Because your husband, I know, he's an Emmy-winning writer, correct?
Yes, he is. Well,
and
Jeff Kahn, he's won an Emmy for the Ben Stiller Show. We always say that, you know, two people can be in the same place at the same time but be having completely different experiences. So, for instance, on the nightly battle to decide whether or not we're going to have sex or not, you know, he thinks that I am just, he doesn't understand, like, why I'm so tired. He thinks I'm not tired. I'm just avoiding sex with him. But no, I'm actually that tired. So the whole book is written in a he said, she said story, and one of us either goes first or last. And you know, we tell, you know, events, and we deal with everything from, you know, falling in love and moving in together, and we show, you know, both points of view. I mean, like, one thing is my husband has nudity radar. Every time I take my clothes off, and I'm not talking about, like, I'm taking my clothes off because I want you to have sex with me. I'm taking my clothes off because I'm, you know, trying to entice you into the bed. No, I'm talking about, like, taking my clothes off because I'm sweaty from the gym, taking my clothes off. He's standing there clapping, yay, like he just got box seats at Fenway Park, right? This is nudity radar. He could have left the house. If I take my clothes off, he's back. He's standing in front of me clapping. I mean, it is the most crazy, annoying thing. He thinks it's great. He's like, hey, I think my wife is hot. This is fantastic. I'm putting a dish in the dishwasher. There's a hand up my skirt. I'm tying my shoe. There's a hand down my pants. He's like, what's the matter? I thought you were trying to show me the view. I didn't even know he was home. So the whole book is, you know, how how you have totally, you know, you think you're in one reality, but when you're in a relationship, you're not. You're in your own reality. They're in their own reality.
No, she just sold a few copies of that book.
Yeah.
Right there.
First of all, I ask if it's really a good idea to publicly air out these things to our 17 listeners.
Our 17-year-old listeners.
You know, it's not. There's no good reason to do this. Except that, you know, I look at this as sort of like Mother Teresa. Okay, she ministered to the suffering. We have, you know, rewritten this book, and we go out and we do these live shows, and people come, and they're married people, and they nod their heads, and they go, yes,
wow.
Yes. I share that. I know what you're talking about. It's impossible. She drives me crazy. He drives me crazy. And it's another one of these cathartic experiences.
No, and I...
We're doing it to help people.
Oh, Lenny has arrived. Lenny, we're talking about Annabelle's romance book here. You need to, you need to come over here and tell Annabelle how you do your... You say tomato, I say shut up.
Yeah, I'm concerned about Lenny and his dating life. Very
concerned
here.
About you. Yes. Yeah, so hurry up, would you? Not that I'm running out of things to talk about. I did want to bring up Wasted and a few other things. Annabelle, here's what I love about so you know, and I want our listeners to know. The great thing about you is you keep doing very intelligent projects. I mean, for someone that started out, and this is no offense, doing, like, hosting dinner in a movie, I did not, like, you kind of ended up.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was a terrible thing when people paid me a lot of money.
No.
I just do things for free. Yay. No. Yeah.
That's true.
You know, I know you're complimenting me.
Yeah,
I know you are.
Well,
somewhere in there.
I loved you on Dinner in a Movie. It was the only reason I watched Runaway Bride.
You know what? I loved Dinner Movie. Dinner Movie was really fun. And the reason why for us to do also, I mean, thank you for saying watch it, but I did the show for, what was it, like 6 or 7 years with Paul Gilmartin.
Yes.
And what was really fun was that the network, they were in Atlanta, we were in L.A., and we were the first original show they were producing. They kind of didn't even know we were on or what we were doing. And we just did whatever we wanted to do. At one point, I invited friends to come on. Sarah Silverman came on, and Janine Garofalo, and Dave Foley, and just everyone, Bob Odenkirk. I just would invite people. They would come on. We would do weird shit, and no one seemed to notice. It was fantastic. It was like having a soapbox.
My favorite's when you and Paul would cook. I was always a big fan of you guys cooking together.
Well, we always called that the cooking parts, MBA, made by actors. There was always two sets of food. The food that Paul and I would make, which would taste horrible, because, first of all, I can't cook at all. I'm the worst. And not only that, you know, when we're doing it for the camera to, like, show these recipes, you know, you're dumping, like, five cups of sugar in something to make the cake. It was always terrible. Then there would be, like, this fabulous... you know, meal that was made by the chef, and we would eat that. I don't know how I didn't, like, totally explode and become, like, a total fatty. But it was, you know what, I had a good time on that. But, I mean, since that show, I don't know what happened, except after being fired by Woody Allen, I just decided, and really, that was like a watershed moment for me personally. I just thought, you know, I want to make my own work in addition to, you know, being for hire and having people pay me, which is just fucking great. I love that. I mean, I really, ever since I started producing my own stuff, I have a different appreciation for just going somewhere and having everything be done for me and then just showing up and doing something. I mean, that is really fun. But I do really love producing and making things happen and trying to, you know, so hence all of my kooky projects that I, you know,
no one makes
documentary films because they want to. You do it because you have to, because you're insane.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering why you don't have a talk show yet.
Yeah, I don't.
That's something I think great with. Like,
you
really,
know, I would really like to have. Well, actually, I'm doing a pilot for one this summer. I'm very excited about this.
Oh,
actually,
good. I know what I'm talking about.
I don't think your projects are kooky. I really liked you in Melvin Goes to Dinner, which I saw that year that it came out. It was at the film festival in Olympia.
Okay.
Michael Bob Odenkirk had filmed a intro for it, and That was really great.
Annabelle's going to confirm if this movie exists. Go ahead, Annabelle.
They think I'm making it up.
I never heard of it.
Goes to Dinner is my favorite movie I ever acted in.
Oh, mine too.
Get that? It's Netflixable. I'm sure it's out there.
Yes, it's
movie. It has really an amazing cast. Jack Black is in it. Maura Tierney's in it. Stephanie Courtney, who is Flo, the insurance girl, stars in the movie. Mike Blyden, Matt Price, Bob Odenkirk directed it. And what it was a show written by Mike Blyden, who now writes for Jimmy Kimmel. Not Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, one of the Jimmys.
Yeah,
okay?
One of the late night.
They're so different. I mean, I can't believe I just said that, right? So Mike Blyden wrote this play, and we did this play. And actually, when I was doing Dinner and a Movie when we started rehearsals, but a week into the rehearsals was when I was actually fired from Dinner and a Movie. And let me just say that I never talk about that, but it's true. I was fired.
Wow.
After like 7 years, they just told me they weren't renewing my contract because I've never actually talked about this publicly because I don't know. I felt kind of weird about it, but now I don't give a shit. So they told me they thought that if they hired a new girl, they might be able to get some more press because it had been on for like 7 years.
Right.
And I said, what? And I said, yeah, we think we can get some more press if we hire a new girl. And so this is an executive who called me from Atlanta, and I just said, fuck you. Your fly is always down. That's the only thing I could think of to say, because he was this really sloppy guy whose fly was always down. I don't know why, but his pants were never zipped. And that was the very last thing I ever heard from anyone at TBS.
Was he fat?
I mean,
well, was he overweight?
That was it.
Was this guy overweight that fired you?
Yes, he was.
That's why this fly. Okay, fat guys. Now, I'm not that fat, but yes, that's why. They can't keep.
I don't know, but in any case, I find that out. I'm coming to rehearsal one day, and I get that. I got in that call. I'm like, I just got fired from getting in the movie, and we started rehearsing this play, and we did this play around Los Angeles for like a year, and it was so much fun. It saved my life because I just realized, I'm not gonna, there are other things out in the world, and Mike is so talented, and he's just doing great stuff. He also directs these videos that Jason Nash, he used to be partners with Jason Nash and Matt Price, and they all used to work together. Oh. And so he does these Jason, if you look up on the internet, look at Jason Nash's videos. They're so funny. Mike also directs the Sklar Brothers in their web series and a lot of stuff they do. Back on Tops.
Yeah, yeah, right. The Sklars, yeah.
Yeah, the Sklars. And so, I mean, everybody knows each other in that group. And anyway, we had such a good time doing that. And then Bob came in. Bob said he wanted to direct it as a movie. And I think it was the first movie Bob directed. This is before he did the second movie he directed, which was Get Out of Jail, Get Out of Prison. Or
Let's Go to Prison.
What was the name of that movie?
Yeah,
what
let's. It was called Let's Go to Prison, I think.
Let's Go to Prison. And I just want to say something about that movie. I love that movie.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that movie, you have to see that. It is so funny. It did not get great reviews.
No.
It is really good. And Will Arnett is really,
Arnett is hilarious.
Really funny.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow, he's just calling Ebert. Okay, Annabelle.
Yeah, I know, sorry.
No, I like it. I like Shy McBride in the movie. I do like that.
Yeah.
He's great. Lenny, you need to tell Annabelle your 5 steps of dating, please.
All right, tell me. I'm worried about you.
And then we have another issue to ask you about, Annabelle. Since you are an intelligent female, there's a word we use that. What, you want to start with that, Lenny? All right, Lenny wants to start with that.
No, you could start with that.
All right.
Lenny and I and the guys, we're a bunch of Italian guys in our mid to late 20s.
I'm not. I'm Greek.
No, you're.
Okay. Well, that's a whole different thing. So
yeah, we don't actually hang out with them. all right, so there's this word that we use that we think nothing badly of, but women hate. And it's when we call women classy broads. Do you like the word broad? educate us on this word broad, then.
I think she thought it was going to be the other word.
No.
Yeah, you definitely had me worried there for I don't know where it could go. But, okay, here's the thing. Okay, first, before I tell you my opinion of classy broad,
yes.
Why don't you give me an idea of a range of things that you would consider that you could use instead? Because I out of context, it's like I think I'm going to do better if you say raging bitch. give me a choice of what you might call someone.
Nice dame.
A good
sweetheart.
A good
sweetheart.
Doll.
A tomato.
Doll.
Well, we're not using broad derogatory sense. That's the issue.
Right.
Except for all times when we do.
No.
It's funny because someone asked me the other day. I did this thing where writer Sandra Singh Lowe, she's an NPR commentator, she had arranged this day, and it was called the Bad Girls of L.A. Literary Scene, first annual Bad Girls of L.A. Literary Scene, and she deemed me one of the bad girls. And so we did this party, and you know the word like bad girls, it's sort of like broad girls, broad. Like people find that's a derogatory term. You know, I don't mind classy broad. I mean, I prefer like for myself. I'd rather be known as like noted bitch.
Really?
Because
that is what women
have.
They're like, we rather have you call us a bitch than a broad.
But
that is what women have told Lenny and I.
But the classy part of it, I think, just puts such a good spin on it.
Well, yeah, I do too. I don't know. I mean, first of all, how old are these people you're running it by? 14 or 50? I mean, because you're going to get a different.
Just did the whole range, Annabelle. 14 to 50. Yes.
14. That's the age range you're looking at. I love a guy who's open to, you know, a big range of things. 14 to 50.
That's us. We're all about big.
You know, I don't mind classy broad. I just want to say, I think that dame, I feel like Mel Gibson once used the word dame, and that, just any association with Mel Gibson, bad. You know, you don't want to, I mean, that's the no.
You know,
Mel
Gibson ruined Sugar Tits for us too, Annabelle.
I know. You see, that was one of the choices. I feel like you were heading towards classy broad, sugar tits, noted bitch, you know, this kind of thing. And sugar tits was ruined by Mel Gibson, so you can't say that either. So when you think about it, what are your choices? Classy broad is looking like, you know, the only one you've got. I mean, like gal. Nobody wants to be gal.
What did your husband say to you to get you, though, Annabelle? When he first got your attention, what was his move? If he didn't call you like a classy broad and come on over, let's have a smoke and a spritz or whatever.
You pay attention to this, Lenny.
Yes. What was his move?
Okay, guys, I don't want to scare you, but it actually took him 5 years. So this is why, from the night I met him, it was 5 years till he won me over. It was like a campaign. It was like Iraq. This was not like a, you know, we have an entrance strategy, we have an exit strategy where, you know, it's surgical. No, this was a 5-year campaign. You could call it stalking. Sure. So, you know, he has something that, you know, that guys who are under 5'9" really need, guys who are under 5'8" or 7. I don't really know how tall he is.
I'm 5'6", Annabelle, so watch your work.
I think he's 5'6". I do. He doesn't ever say. So this is something that you need.
All right, what do I need?
Perseverance.
Okay.
Thought you were going to say
that. He is scrappy. He does not give up. So when I met him, the night I met him, he said, "You're married to the wrong person." And I said,
"Married
you're an idiot."
Ah! See, that does sound like something you and I would say.
Yeah,
I have
no problem with that.
We bump into married people.
If you're having any trouble, anyone with persistence, that's the thing. Women really respond to persistence. There's also that, you know, you can drug them. But that I don't recommend.
No.
That's, you know, because it wears off.
Or is that you guys just like the attention? Ooh.
You guys.
Because perseverance is a very good way of just saying you guys like attention. And 5 years, I mean, I could see that. I mean, now I'm thinking about stepping back and not giving girls attention.
There's two things. Either women respond to you act like you're not interested at all. But if you're not interested at all, I think that works best if you're over 5'10".
Okay.
And dressed in very expensive clothes and are famous. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing like trying to, you know, like that we're not interested in you, you have to win us over thing. But for other guys, I really do feel like if you try really hard, women will be won over. It just might take a little bit of time. So how much time do you have?
Okay. Oh, so persevere.
That's the question. How much patience and time do you have?
That's good. I think that's really good salient advice. Be persevere.
Are you on the fast track? I mean, you know, what's the goal?
The goal's to get laid. I mean, no, the goal's to get a girlfriend.
It's to meet that special someone.
Yeah, special someone.
Thing. I think that one, that just takes time. One is, you know, because then you have to be, you know, stupid things like discerning and intelligent about it. You know, because be careful what you wish for. That's what I tell my husband all the time. Like, he thought, you know, he wanted me, and then he got me, and then, you know. And then you're into those years, and, you know, we write about this in the book, and you have to face those really important decisions in life. Like, I mean, these are like the relation. This is what I consider a truly relationship-defining decision. Do you fart in front of each other or not? Because once you've crossed that line,
that's major.
You cannot go back.
Oh, God, Lenny and I can't go back.
Or crapping with the door open. I mean...
That is where I've drawn the line.
Well, it's just levels of comfort. I'm sure my parents did it when I'm not home. You know, like, oh, the door's open. Yeah. I don't want that.
You think so?
I crap.
I don't know, how long were your parents married?
They've been married now 41 years.
Still together, huh?
Still together from 1970.
Now, of course, you know, that doesn't mean that they've liked it all that time. I mean, that's what are we looking for? Are we looking for length, or are we looking for, you know, quality? That's a very leading question.
Well, why don't you go in, Lenny? Why don't you go into your five?
I have five
stages
of dating.
I went to college
when I was 18 or 19, and I'm 28 now, and I still hold them. There is talking, seeing, dating, together, boyfriend, girlfriend. Sex doesn't have to begin in any particular stage; it can be used throughout. But the whole process could take around 18 months, and there's an expedite. If you really like the girl, you could expedite the process to 6 to 8 months. But it's kind of like seeing who you want to be with, who you want to be your girlfriend, because the eventual next step is marriage. So you have to be right. You have to get everything out of the table, so you have to allow that time. And it also enables you to date other people while you're with them and, you know, kind of philander around.
Oh, wait. So philandering is which step?
Philandering could take place during talking and seeing.
Mm-hmm.
When you start dating, there's the pullback a little bit. Not as much. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, we're kind of getting there, but if I still want to have a fling, I can. In the together and boyfriend-girlfriend step, it's completely prohibited.
Pullback like a stick on a jet plane.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And now in the girlfriend-boyfriend thing, what are the rules of that?
Girlfriend-boyfriend is completely exclusive. There is nothing else. You're not seeing anyone outside.
Why not explain, this was our question, what's the difference between seeing and dating?
Or talking and seeing.
Talking and seeing.
Okay, well, each one, talking is kind of like, you know, just the random run-ins, like on the phone, how are you, come out.
Uh-huh. Wait a minute, don't you think you need to update this to, like, texting? Isn't texting the first one now?
Well, forms of communication. You could email, smoke signal, carrier pigeon, whatever have you. What wins the girl over? So, but you really don't have to win her over. It's kind of like just the light meals. You're not really committed to buy her drinks. Mm-hmm. You know, not committed. Yes.
Really, you've got, you know, I don't think you have five stages. You really got like 10, because then you've got buying. Where is the buying one?
So you're saying I'm even more complex.
Yeah, where's the buying process?
You're a very complicated person. You made it more complicated.
The buying process could start to come in around the talking. I mean, I'm sorry, around the seeing stage. So
I want to ask you guys a question, though. I mean, I just don't know anymore. Do we? What do we think about this? We've been talking long enough because we were talking. Now we're actually dating. I feel that since we've talked continuously for over a half an hour, we're dating now.
You're on the super expeditious. I mean,
we're on the fast track here. All of us are really? Now one. And what do we think about the paying for women? What do we think about that, paying for you? What's
I'm old school.
I paid
for them for everything, which sucks.
Wait.
Paying for women. What is your feeling on what?
What is she?
She's saying, how? Not hookers,
okay.
Lenny. Thank you, Katie Rose.
I don't know.
No, I don't mean not hookers. But
no.
Yes, what is your feeling on hookers?
Paying for women.
Yeah, no, what is your?
You're talking
your
to
thought?
A politician.
Do you pay for women on dates or what?
Okay. No, I mean, you know what? They want the not women's lib and stuff, but you know they want the independence. They have the jobs and everything, and I always pay for them. But then I mean I just feel it kind of like I have to because that's the way I was raised. I have to, but at the same time, I'm so hesitant because if they're you know doing their own thing on the side too, why am I paying? And you know they have a job. Just
so do you only start paying once it's like so? Really, you are paying for sex. The truth is, I've always said that.
I've always said that dating or a girlfriend is just paying for sex.
Yeah,
that's
one
all it is.
One dinner at a time.
Yeah, one dinner at a time. I mean, that's why you know it's too long of a process.
All right, So listen, Annabelle, if you're getting a sense of visualizing what Lenny looks like, take your vision and just don't change it at all because it's probably dead on.
Well, Lenny, which one is of you is Greek? Because I'm picturing a lot of hair.
That's me, and yes.
Lee is hairy, but Lenny is also hairy. I am also hairy.
Matt, not so hairy.
Matt, not so hairy.
I just feel like when you guys all use the bathroom, there's like a lot of hair on the floor afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm well trimmed.
Annabelle, I always bitch at them because I have women that come over and my toilet seat has pube hair everywhere.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I find that really a turn off. I had a boyfriend who, I mean, just he would walk down the hall and it was like...
like a dog walk.
Yeah,
shedding a lot of hair everywhere. Shedding.
Oh, no, but some chicks dig that, you know, masculine hair or pheromones.
That's true. If the alternative is completely, you know, waxed, that's wrong also.
You're a child.
By the way.
Okay, now here's a question I have for you guys. So I have this thought, and let me run this by you. So I don't understand why Matthew McConaughey has his shirt off all the time. Because I think that women prefer men clothed because we want to imagine. We want to imagine what's underneath there. We don't really want to see everything that's underneath.
You're right.
Right?
Women do. Girls prefer the shirts off.
But men want to see him with his clothes.
It's a whole other demographic. You're right, man. Absolutely.
Wait a minute. So wait. Who wants to see him with his clothes off? Girls?
Men. Gay men.
Girls. Little
gay
girls.
Gay men. Oh, men. Gay men want to see, right, gay men want to see his chest, but women want to see him with his clothes on because we want to imagine. I mean, no magazines have ever done well since that one Burt Reynolds was naked. I actually saw that as a child, and that was very disturbing because
he was very hairy,
and he was on a fur. I mean, who really ever thought someone should be naked on a fur? So it was fur on a fur. It was
horrible.
It
would be ironic.
Annabelle, are you trying to tell me you never saw Striptease with Burt Reynolds where he has no clothes on and it's all Vaseline'd up?
Oh, I do. You know what? Now, why are you bringing this back for me? This was a very scarring moment. There was between Demi Moore's big fake boobies and his Vaseline'd up in a pair of cowboy boots. It was horrible.
What a great movie.
Listen,
Armand DeSante's fine.
Listen, I'm not going to apologize for my hair. There's a lot of it. It gets places. It's like a golden retriever. I try to keep a handle on it. I do back waxing sometimes.
My mom trims my back hair, so.
Which part of the dating is that where you tell? Because, you know, I also have another piece of, I do have a piece of dating advice. For you. Don't tell everyone everything. This is my thing. You know, people don't. My husband and I unfriended him on Facebook, and that was such a great decision. I don't need to know what he is doing out there in cyberspace because let's face it, what is Facebook for? Facebook for is either people are either giving you the minutia of their day, ate a biscuit, and I didn't eat a biscuit today. had a biscuit in the hand. I mean, I don't know. It's so hard. It's just too much. It's either minutia. You're getting together with old high school friends, or you're flirting. Jeff's email stat. His Facebook status runs from everything from like thinking about the vagina to lust in the wind. I don't need to know this. All of his Facebook friends are women, or at least 99% are. So at one point, I just thought, you know what? I'm cutting you off, man. I blocked him. So he's out there in cyberspace doing whatever he wants to do out there. It's fine as long as I'm on a need to know basis. And I think people make a mistake in dating, like telling people too much information.
I just need to meet a woman like Annabelle now. That I get 99% of my friends be women.
Because if we don't
tell
you, then they say we're lying. So I prefer I prefer someone like you. Just don't give a shit.
Well, you know, thank you. Yeah. So here's the thing, is like, you know, when people talk about, you know, you should develop intimacy with someone. Oh, God, no. Preserve the mystery.
Right.
I really think that there's too much emphasis on being honest and telling everyone everything. You don't really, there's a lot of things people really shouldn't know about each other. It's
right.
just better to keep the mystery going. I think that is, maybe that's the advice for once you meet someone. You have to tell them a certain amount of stuff when you meet them, like your real name, where you really live, the right email. But, beyond that, need to know basis.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone about the bad relationships beforehand, or even the good ones. You know what I mean? Like,
but they're good stories. But Lenny, she makes a good point. There's magic in the mystery, and you'll give away all the mystery in the first 10 minutes of knowing you.
Right?
Because they're pretty funny. Some of the stories.
they're funny to us, yes.
The bad breakup stories, or the bad boyfriend or girlfriend stories. They're really funny to us, and I'm going to include me now because. We've been talking now for 45 minutes. We're us now, right? We're in the, what are we in it? We're past dating now. God, we've been together for a half an hour is like, you know, a long relationship for me. So
this relationship is suffocating me.
Oh, no, I feel.
Yeah, right. I need space now, Lenny.
Don't like this relationship.
Give me my space. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we find it funny and your friends find it funny, but you really have to preserve, you really have to think about, you know, what information like you want to give. It's just, you got to like hold back. If you want something to last, I keep telling my husband that, like, don't tell me that, I don't need to know that. It's very important to keep the mystery, particularly if you think you want to be with one for a long time. You have to really tell them very little, name, address, email, nothing more.
By the way,
friend them on Facebook. Speaking
of funny, two things. Annabelle's book is now in paperback.
Mm-hmm.
You say tomato, I say shut up. And she is performing at the UCB tomorrow.
I'm performing in a show called Risk, and it's guys from the State. And I love that group, the sketch comedy group, The State. And UCB tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. I love doing shows at UCB. UCB is like a factory of funny. It's unbelievable. In both New York and L.A., every single show is sold out. There's always lines, and they're really good. But you're in, you're out. It's like it just goes on and on. It's like every hour they're making funny. They just manufacture funny. It's kind of scary how much great stuff is there. And I'm not talking about me. I mean, they're just really good stuff.
No, you're good.
They're all the time. I don't know if you're fans of UCB, but there's always
yes, we are. We had Michael
we,
Lee.
We
Michael
like
had Michael Ian Black on
yeah,
the
Michael
program.
Yeah, Michael Ian Black was on a few weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Ian Black is very funny.
I heard that about him.
Funny.
Yeah. I heard a rumor he does the comedy.
I have heard he does the comedy.
Yeah. That's what I heard. Annabelle, we love having you on. When we're out in L.A., we'd love to have you on again. I think this was very good for us.
And we'll talk politics next
time. Thank you. You know what we need to do? We need to go out together, and I will pick women for you.
Thank you.
I'll be your picker.
That is what we're going to do. You will be our wing woman.
I'll be your wing woman.
That's a movie right there, Annabelle. Come on. You and I, we should.
Mom, that's good.
Wing
woman. Good. And, you know, female comedies. Bridesmaids, bad teeth.
Annabelle, don't start writing that without me. I'm going to be angry. I'm a writer. I do good writing.
Wing lady.
But thank you, Annabelle, very much for being on. Did we lose her?
No, we didn't lose her.
Well, it says she's still on, but I think her landline crapped out. Oh. She did warn me that I may have to call her cell if the landline battery dies.
Well, if that.
So I have a little plan here. Let's just wait and see what happens.
Okay. Let's not say anything.
By the way, I think the conversation may change when Chaz Palminteri's on. Should I call her again? Yeah, but I'm just saying when Chaz is on, Steve, I don't think we're going to be talking about vaginas and cocks and dating. And
it's okay.
So Annabelle wants to take us out.
Right? I don't really want to talk about vaginas and cocks with Chaz.
No, we did. We did. We just never got around to it.
Oh, it was wild.
I wonder about all the Chaz fans that are listening to this show right now. Like, what a combo today. It's like peanut butter and salami.
Well, no, I'm more interested in what she said now about the mystery. Now this is a whole new angle.
No, now
play.
She wants to take us out. I need to know about it.
Not to play this angle and, you know. Hold on.
I think we lost
Annabelle. No, she thought you were all right.
Give the phone card. We just want to say goodbye.
Yourself. I'm more pissed that Matt told her about my pubes. Fucking. Ugh.
I'm sorry, Lee.
It's okay. So well.
Should we leave her a voice?
Leave her a voicemail.
Hello,
this is Ezra, Annabelle, and Jeff. Thanks for calling. Sorry we can't pick up her phone. Please call back at
333-665-3355.
Yeah, we don't want... Maybe.
Oh, did we just give out her number on the phone?
You got to cut that out.
No.
It was just some of it.
Jesus.
Well, you know, that happened. See, here's what I'm afraid of, though. She's going to call. You can't edit
Could
anymore.
Could you give him permission to edit the number out?
Are you kidding?
The number,
are you kidding me?
The number.
I told him he can do whatever he wants. He wants to make it Sesame Street around here. Go ahead.
Do I got to be Waka Waka?
Sonny.
Having a fun time on the Matthew Aaron Show.
I don't think we were supposed to sing along with it. It made the audio really bad.
Yeah.
You need to send her an email saying thank you for being on the show. Why did I miss all the political discussion?
I wanted to say goodbye.
Her phone died. She sent me an email.
I think I'm in love with her.
Oh, wait. I think she just sent me another one. She did.
Okay.
My phone died. Ugh. If you want to say goodbye, call. Ooh.
Ooh.
Just so,
why does everything have a connotation?
By the way, men, are you a little jealous in the room right
now? I think I'm in love with her.
Annabelle and I have a Bobby Heenan
I'm
Andre
in love
the
with
Giant
her.
Thing going on.
Does she have like normal women like her? Because see, that's normal. She's normal.
Yeah.
They're not like that, really.
Yeah, she's super
that's
cool.
That's one every 200.
Yeah, she's way cool.
I told you'd like her.
Yeah, she's normal.
She's
like for a woman, normal.
She is a patsy.
Yes.
From Richards. That she's a patsy and like an
like a stooge.
Patsy was kind of a wackadoodle though. Annabelle's not, but Patsy was.
Did you just use wackadoodle as an insult?
They use that in Sesame.
We're gonna call Annabelle and apologize for her phone and thank her for coming on.
Which is really not our fault.
And then
though.
Tell her how much we love her.
Okay.
Because we do.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
I'm a fan, too. I really enjoyed this interview.
I can't wait to see what woman she picks out for Lenny.
Yeah.
She's going to have hair on her upper lip.
I'm going to send her. Maybe she wants a picture of my chest
all
there.
All fail.
She's going to have some prison ink, maybe.
Why is it not working?
Yeah, the teardrop.
Can we send her a picture of my back hair and my chest hair?
Yeah. She'll be like, why'd you send me a picture of a rug?
This is the finest rug in all.
You know
the
why she's not answering? Because she's getting 400 phone calls right now from our listeners on her home line.
No way.
No, I'm just saying. It could happen.
God, are we idiots?
I hope only like one person's listening.
I just Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep her.
Inside joke. Somebody who I will not name because he is a celebrity sent me an email once. Accidentally forwarded me Meryl Streep's email and phone number.
Oh, man.
I have not used it.
So does
boy,
this
would
mean
that...
she's not going to hook us up because 400 people are calling her right
boy,
now?
Boy, would that be an awkward
I
interview?
Didn't say that's true. But it's saying it's... Oh, there we go.
All right,
it's ringing. It's ringing.
All right. Well, keep it simple now.
Ready? Hello?
Annabelle, I'm sorry about that.
I broke up with you. That's what
I
thought
you
phone
did.
Broke up with you.
I thought you got mad at me.
What?
Yeah, no. So anyways, we need to plug her one more time and say goodbye. okay. Because we do have Chaz Palminteri coming on, and I hear he's done some things, I heard.
Yeah, he's done a few things. Oh, he's amazing. What an amazing actor. Not in the least of which was he was amazing in the Woody Allen movie.
Bullets Over Broadway.
Bullets Over Broadway, one of the funniest movies ever, even though it's Woody Allen.
He played Peach. He was fantastic. Great.
That's a great movie.
But You Say Tomato, I Say Shut Up is in paperback form now, but I suggest going out and getting the hardcover because it'll be worth more in 50 years. Annabelle Gurwitch wrote that book, and she'll be at the UCB tomorrow performing with the State in Los Angeles. And we will have her on in the future, and she's going to take us out and introduce
Hook us
plenty
up with
to
some
women.
Girls. Thank you.
And Annabelle and I are going to have this great screenplay to write about it. It's going to be fantastic.
You got to get her to Chicago ASAP.
We are a wing woman. I'm coming to Chicago. I'm coming to see
you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
When are you coming to Chicago?
Yeah.
I'm coming to stay at your place as long as you promise to sweep the bathrooms.
No, I will sweep the bathrooms, but I feel like you're wasting an opportunity without bringing a camera crew.
Yeah, really.
Could you imagine how weird that is? Annabelle brings a camera crew, goes to Chicago, and hangs out with your dumbass, Lenny.
Thank you.
This is fun. I'm coming. Invite me, and I'll come, and we'll make the movie. Fuck it.
Invited. You're invited. I'll call up Craig. We'll get Bierko in it. He's doing
great.
A lot, but we'll get him in.
Oh, yeah, he's not busy at all.
No, he's not busy at all. No. Yeah, we'll get everyone in it. We'll have a good time. We'll just fuck around.
Well, listen, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon. You're the best.
Thanks, Annabelle.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. Bye.
She's great.
Good girl.
So let's play a little song and then Chaz.
Okay.
I have something I wanted to play just for Chaz's interview.
Okay.
We have all the fucking time in the world.
Hey.
I have overtime, which is an hour.
No.
Love you like I do.
No.
Do.
Welcome back to the Matthew Aaron Show. We are going to get to Chaz Palminteri. It's going to run into overtime by a minute or two, so you're going to have to download us on iTunes or listen to the blog talk. Just reload it after the podcast is over, and you'll be able to listen to all of it. But you'll hear 99% of it. And then Lenny and I are going to talk after the interview in overtime. And Lee has some things he wants to talk about, I'm sure. No? Lee has nothing, as usual. bum.
Oh.
Lenny, do you want to help me introduce this interview, though?
Well,
talk about Chaz.
It's Chaz Palminteri. We all know him, A Bronx Tale. What else has he done? Bullets Over Broadway.
Bullets Over Broadway.
His original show,
yes.
A Bronx Tale. I mean, phenomenal one, what do they call it? One man.
All right, well, we got 31 minutes, 30 seconds. Let's go now.
A Tony?
Hello?
This is the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
This is Chaz Palminteri.
Oh, my. Oh. Chaz, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, okay.
How was your holiday weekend?
Oh, it was good, relaxing.
Okay, very nice. I'm here with my pal, Len Cannata. Len, are you there?
How are you?
All right, how you doing, guys?
Good. I have a bunch of questions for you, and we want to plug your Atlantic City dates, and we want to plug the new restaurant, which I'm really curious about, too. But, Chaz, for our listeners and for anyone who may not know your background, could you briefly summarize how you got involved in the entertainment business? Because I know
briefly, I always wanted to be an actor. I mean, what could I say? When I was 10 years old, I wanted to be an actor. It was something that I always wanted to do. And when I became 17, 18, I started singing. I got into a band. I had long hair in a band, and I sang all over. And I kept studying acting and coming into the city. Finally, I auditioned for the Actors Studio with Lee Strasberg, and I got in. But my singing career kept me out of it for years, going on the road with the bands. Then finally, in 1979... Lee Strasberg said, well, if you really want to be an actor, you got to starve a little bit. I quit the bands, and I got on Broadway in 1982 as an understudy, and I started doing off-Broadway, and then in 1988, I wrote A Bronx Tale because I really wanted to showcase myself, and then, bam, it exploded, and the rest is say is history. That's pretty brief, I guess.
What was that now? Robert De Niro, he was instrumental in your career, and could you give me an idea of why?
Okay, sure. Well, when I wrote A Bronx Tale, it was a one-man show. That's what I wrote. It was a one-man show, and I did all the characters on stage by myself. I put it up in L.A. at the time, and it just exploded. It became the hottest property in New York and L.A., and it just was off the charts. Everybody wanted it. They haven't seen anything like that since Rocky at the time. They say it happens once every 15, 20 years like that. And the last time that did happen was Rocky, where everybody wanted the script. And it was the same way with Bronx Tale. They saw me perform it. They loved it. But they really didn't want me. They wanted my writing. They wanted to take the rights of my show and make it a movie. And they said, look, you're great, but I'm sorry, you're not famous and you're not a star, and it's not going to happen. And I said, well, you're mistaken, because I wrote it and I own it and I'm not selling it. And I said, either I play Sonny and I write the screenplay or I'm not selling it to no one. And so they offered me $250,000 to walk away. I had $200 in the bank at the time. And I said, no. I said, I'm not doing it. I play Sonny. I write the screenplay. And about 3 weeks later, they offered me $500,000. The same thing. They doubled the offer. Again, I said no. And at that time, the crowds were coming into the theater. We had to move into a bigger theater because the crowds got so big. Every writer, director, producer, studio head were coming to the theater to see it. It was insane. I mean, all the stars, every major star wanted to play Sonny. Every major actor, every writer wanted to write the screenplay. It was just incredible. And again, I said no. Then finally, I got offered $1 million to walk away by the studio. And again, I wanted to play Sonny, and I wanted to write the screenplay. And again, they said, no, it can't be done. It'll never happen. No one will ever do it. And I said, someone will do it sooner or later. I don't believe you. And they said, why? I said, because it's too good. That's why.
Yep.
And then about 2 weeks later, Robert De Niro walked into the theater, saw the show, met me backstage, came in my dressing room and said, look, this is incredible. It's a great show. You're great. You should play Sonny. You should write the screenplay. And if you shake my hands, that's the way it'll be. And I shook his hand, and that's the way it was.
Wow, that's and both Lenny and I have seen the play. Now we saw it recently, Len. Correct? You saw it last year or 2 years ago?
Whenever the last time you were in Chicago, I'm not quite sure the date.
About 2 years ago. Yes.
Now,
okay,
Chad,
correct. Yeah.
Chad, did the play change at all? Because we both thought it was great, but was it different before the movie?
No.
And
same.
So it's the same thing.
Same thing.
That's great. I'm very glad that I didn't miss anything.
Don't change anything. Don't change anything.
No, I don't. I don't change anything. You know, I mean, I had Jerry Zaks directed this version of it, and he was great. It's actually better. It's even better, I mean, I think. It's just great. I mean, the show is just, you know, I worked so hard on it. When I wrote it, it took me a year to write it, and I performed it for my theater workshop. So I kept writing 15 minutes and taking the best out of the 15, taking the best out of the 10 minutes. And then after almost a year, I had this tight, tight show, you know, and it just works.
It's brilliant. You know, because I'm an actor, and I just can't imagine what playing 18 roles is like. And
well, it's great. It's exhilarating. It's like riding a race car and getting in a Ferrari. The only thing is you just have to rehearse a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you ever get confused? Do you ever accidentally do another character while you're supposed to do, like, Sonny or whatever?
Not really, but you know what I do? It's funny you said that. It happened to me about three times. When I do this one scene between Lorenzo and Sonny, and it's the scene about giving the money back, I'm so intense that I actually say something and then I wait for the answer to come back at me. And then I take a longer pause and I go, holy shit, wait a minute. I'm the one who played the other guy. I've done that. I've done that about two or three times in all the performances that I've done where I've said it, then I just pause too long waiting for the answer to come back.
Oh, that's so good.
I know, kind of weird.
Oh, now tell me something else. I heard a story. Now, you have how many kids do you have, Chaz?
I have two kids.
You have two?
Two. Dante and Gabriella, yes.
Okay, and I heard Dante's going into music. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes. He has his own band called Camus, and he's the lead singer. He plays guitar, and they're terrific. They're just terrific.
That's great. Now, which films? I think I've seen you. Now, was it The Dukes I saw you singing in?
Yes.
Yes, you have a great voice.
Well, thanks. Yeah, well, I started out as a singer, you know, and actually I was an actor first, but my singing career, I started making money as a singer. But I enjoy singing very much, yes.
Yeah, and then after Bronx Tale, your career just kind of blew up. And then it was like a Bullets over Broadway. I mean,
right, after Bronx Tale with Bullets, which I got nominated, then Usual Suspects, and it just blew up. Big
yeah, how was it working with Woody Allen on Bullets
great.
Over Broadway?
Really great. I had a great time working with him.
Yeah, no, and you got the Academy Award nomination for the film.
Yes, I did, yes.
And you're great in that film. Your character's name, I believe, is Cheech. And,
Cheech, yes.
Oh, it was great. Is that in Cusack's in that one, too, isn't it?
Yeah, John. That's a great cast. I think we got nominated for, like, I don't know, 13 Academy Awards for the movie, I think, something like that.
Justly so, and I thought Usual Suspects should have been nominated, too. That was a great film.
Yeah, well, it won Academy Award for Best Screenplay.
Right, but I think the acting awards that I was expecting it through.
Right. Yeah,
there were some great roles in that.
Great roles in that, great. Absolutely.
Do you get a lot of people coming up to you about Usual Suspects on the street?
Oh, yes.
Because it's a big cult movie now.
Big, big movie. Yeah, I get Bronx Tale, Usual Suspects, Bullets, Analyze This, those four a lot.
Oh, we had Peter Tolan on a few weeks ago, and Peter's a hell, and he's the best, and Analyze This was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, phenomenal. We love that movie. We love you in that role.
Oh, thanks.
What was that like, Analyze This? You worked with Harold Ramis, Billy Crystal, Robert De Niro again.
Oh, just fun guys. You know, I mean, just fun. I mean, that whole thing at the end when I do this Mikey Gaga and all this other stuff, and we were riffing on that, and then Billy just went off on a riff of his own. You know, and that was all kind of ad-lib, and it was just terrific. I mean, it was just a funny movie.
That seemed classic when you guys are sitting around at the end and acting like a mobster. It was so good. Lenny, what's your favorite scene from Analyze This?
It's Analyze That, not Analyze This.
Oh, which one is better than that?
No, I think it was the first one.
Yeah, Analyze
Okay, no, it is. I'm sorry.
Analyze This is the first one. Analyze That is the second.
He just like dancing that because of the buffet.
That was a good thing. No, but my favorite scene is the interplay between you and De Niro on the phone.
Oh,
about
yeah.
That. He's going to hit us with this closure thing. I want to know what it was. I was dying.
Yeah, that was a great line. That was written. That was a wonderful line written. Yes.
Well, what are some of your favorite lines you've done, Chaz? What are some of the lines that stick with you that you're like, I can't believe I got to deliver that line?
Oh, God. Well, some of the lines that I wrote and delivered in, obviously,
yep.
In A Bronx Tale have been... I mean, I hear that for 20 years, almost 20 years, I constantly hear, when I get on an airplane and they shut the doors and all of a sudden the pilot knows I'm on, he gets on and he goes, now you just can't leave. I hear that all the time. I hear, is it better to be loved or feared, or throw him in the bathroom, or I've been mushed. I hear those lines all the time. And also in Usual Suspects, I hear, I'm smarter than you. I hear some of the lines that I said in there, and obviously in Cheech, God, I'm trying to think of the ones in Cheech. There's a whole bunch of them. I can't think of them right now, but it's just amazing how some of the lines just work, They just, people remember them, and same through the culture of American society.
How great was it, Chaz, for you to do, and I mean, I don't even know if you're credited in the role, but Night at the Roxbury.
No, I'm not credited. I didn't want to be. I wanted it to be a total surprise.
It was.
I love doing that. Wait a minute, that's another line. I'm walking down, and all these kids always go to me, hey, did you grab my ass? Did you grab my ass? I hear that all the time. All the time.
Because I just love that role for you because I'm like, finally, Chaz gets to cut loose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I did cut loose in that one.
Oh, that was great. Now, you know what is another movie that I bet you get asked about a lot is Pool Hall Junkies.
Pool Hall Junkies, yes. Oh,
yes. That's a classic. It's a small film. It's one of those independent projects that just took off. And how was it working with you and Chris Walken on one side and the other? I mean, that's
great. I mean, Chris, I we're good friends, and I have always wanted to work with Chris in something. And finally we had this big scene, and he's just fabulous. I mean, Chris is, he could read the phone book, and you just listen, He's so interesting, and he's got his own rhythms and his own cadence, and he's just so interesting to watch and to hear, So it was a real pleasure with him.
No, yeah, and I can just think of Walken in that movie delivering that Animal Planet speech in the bathroom.
Oh, God, yeah.
So good. Now, what I was going to ask you is, do you have a favorite story from the set of any of your films? I know you directed Noel with Susan Sarandon, I believe, and Paul Walker. So, I mean, you've directed films, you've written them, you've acted. Is there any film that kind of, like, stands out for you for, like, great experience, great stories?
Well, I mean, I've been very fortunate. I've had great experiences in a lot of my... I never really had a bad experience, I don't know why. I just get along with people, I try to make things pleasurable, and making a movie is so hard. One great story was when we did Bronx Tale, De Niro was directing that, obviously, and Bob said he didn't want to use actors. And I said, what do you mean, Bob? He goes, no, just me, you, and Pesci. Everybody else I want to be people who never acted before. I want real new faces from the street. So we had to audition a lot of people for that, And we really used the real Eddie Mush in the movie. That was really Eddie Mush. The real one, who actually was from my neighborhood, Eddie Mush, and I was nervous because he's such a jinx, and I was afraid he was going to jinx the movie, we had to go look for him. We got in the car, and we drove up to OTB at the time. It was open, and we found him in front of OTB screaming and yelling at everybody, and I brought him over to the car. I said, look, I want you to be Robert De Niro. He says, you're full of shit. And I said, no, Bob's in the car. He goes, I'm not going over near that car. He goes, I owe too many people money. He thought I was taking them off or something, And then finally he comes near the car, and he couldn't believe it. And De Niro says, listen, I want you to come down next Wednesday and read for me for this movie that we're doing. And Mush says, what time? And Bob says, 12 o'clock. So Mush says, could you make it 3? Now imagine this now. Robert De Niro's asking me to come. And he tells Robert De Niro at 3. So then... And Bob goes, yeah, all right, 3 o'clock's right. He goes, can I ask you why 3? And Mush says, well, I'm going to the Daily Double. I don't want to miss the Daily Double. Fine. You know, pretty unique character. But.
That sounds like all of Lenny and I's friends in the city.
Yeah,
we're Italian. We live in Chicago. We love you. This is like, you know, I've interviewed everybody, it feels like, too. But for you to be on the show and for me to interview you, it's a big deal for me. I mean, it's
thanks.
Yeah, we grew up idolizing you. It was you, De Niro, and Pacino. I remember I'd see every movie that you did that came out in the 90s when I was like, I'm 27 now. I was like 14, 15 then.
Right, yeah.
And you did a film with Nick Nolte, Mulholland Falls.
Mulholland Falls, yeah.
Yeah, Nick Nolte and you in the same movie. I'm like, those are my acting idols right there. That's
cool. Well, Nick is a great actor and a great friend, and we had fun doing that movie.
Yeah, no, and I just wanted to know, I know a lot of people in the business, and I heard a story, and I want you to tell me if this is a true story.
Sure.
I heard a guy pitched you a script while choking in Los Angeles. Is this
true? Yeah. Yeah. Well, what happened was he was choking on a steak, and I was a stranger, and I heard him choking while I was on the phone with my wife, and I went over to him and I tried to, and people weren't helping him, and he was pushing people away. Then finally, I moved in, and I can't take the credit for it because I was just about to give him the Heimlich. I picked him up and the meat spit out, so I really didn't do it. It just came out on its own, and he was gasping for air. He was literally gray. And he's going, and I said, sir, are you okay? Should we get an ambulance? And he was like, And then he looked at me, and he recognized me while he's staring at me. And then he says, oh my God, Chaz Palminteri. Oh, wait. And he's reaching into his wallet. I said, what the hell is he doing? And he takes out a card. He goes, I have a great script. I want you to read it. And I'm going, sir, are you okay? No, I'm fine. You'll be great for this movie. And I'm like, holy God.
Is that why you continue to live in New York?
You know, if you wrote that in a movie, people would think it's crazy. But, I mean, I'm telling you, guys, that's really happened. You know, he really did that. You know? He just, like, you know, it was, like, so weird. You know, he just cared. He just recognized me, and then he wanted to give me a script. It's weird.
Now, Chaz, let's talk about the restaurant. Chaz, a Brock original on 1415 Alice Anna Street, Baltimore, Maryland. www.chazbronxoriginal.com.
Right.
Now, Chaz, Lenny and I, huge aficionados of Italian food.
Oh, sure, yes.
We're tough critics, but I'm hearing some good things about this restaurant. What were some of the challenges? What did you want to put into this restaurant menu-wise?
Right.
Why?
Well, you know, what happened was when I was doing the show, the national tour of A Bronx Tale all over the country, I kept going, where's an Italian restaurant? And I kept going into places. And it was terrible. It's just not good pizza, not good food. Now, yes, there were exceptions. In Florida, I found some good Italian restaurants. Chicago, great Italian restaurants. A few places, I found some good Italian restaurants. But most of the time, I went to places where, you know, Wisconsin, and just got some good Italian food. And I said, you know what? I said, I've always wanted to open up a restaurant and bring my food that I had from my neighborhood in the Bronx here, coal fire oven pizza, handmade pasta, fresh pasta. And then I talked to the Vitalis, who have this restaurant in the Vitali brothers, who own this restaurant called Aldo's, named after their father. And it's an incredible, it was voted number one Italian restaurant in Baltimore. And I talked to them about opening up something casual, and we both came up with this concept about opening up this restaurant where we have like a the Bronx theme around it, and it looks like a subway station, and coal fire oven, 900 degrees, real coal fire oven, where the pizza cooks in a minute and 90 seconds, and it's crusty on the outside, chewy on the inside, fresh mozzarella, not the cheap mozzarella, real, really great gravy and great sauce, you know. And we opened this thing up, and it is doing absolutely incredible. It's on Alisana Street in Baltimore, on the Harbor East, and it's Jubilee. And we're going to open up, we'd like to open up maybe 10 of them. And I'm very, very excited. I'm really excited by it.
Yeah, you got to bring it to Chicago then. Yeah, I heard you have a dish. I heard it was veal meatballs with sausage gravy.
Yes.
And I hear it. I have a friend in Baltimore. I told him.
Oh, you must have, because, yes, the veal meatball with the sausage gravy is –
phenomenal.
You know, you got to sign a piece of paper that you promise not to go insane after you eat it. You know, we are not responsible for it. You know, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah, I heard that was a great dish. Lenny, you got any questions about the restaurant?
Yeah. If you guys are in town, you got to come. I'm doing the show, don't forget, in Atlantic City.
Yep.
I'm doing the show in Atlantic City, which I open this Saturday, which is the 9th, and I go to the 22nd.
Okay. It's not till August?
No, July.
Oh, July.
It's July. Yeah, this Saturday, July 9th, I open in Atlantic City at Caesars, and I go to the 27th.
Oh, okay. So, we should come check you out at your show. But then, Chad, you got to give us a tour of the restaurant. We're pumped.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you're ever in Baltimore, please go there. Call me up ahead of time. I'll set it up for you. You guys will have a great time.
Oh, yeah, we'd love to. We'd love to. Now, tell me, I'm very excited about you have an upcoming project or two. And I'm buddies with Thomas Ian Nicholas. And I heard you're doing a movie with him and Scott Kahn. Is that true?
You know, are we going to do it? They say we are, but to me, I didn't hear about the green light yet, so I'm not sure.
Okay. Are you working on any projects at all, any screenplays, anything like
that? Yes, I'm working on a screenplay. I'm very excited about my new play. I just wrote a new play, and I hope it gets to Broadway. It's called Human, and I'm very, very happy. I just had a reading of it. I'm having another reading of it on Friday. And it's about just how the world has forgot to be human. That's all I can say about it because I don't like to talk too much about it. But
right.
I'm very excited by that, and we'll see what happens.
You were talking about Chicago had great Italian joints. Do you remember any, Chaz, that you really liked?
Yes, there was a couple that I went to, but I cannot remember the names. They weren't in the city. They took me out of the city.
Oh.
And a few of these places are just fabulous.
Yeah, that we do have some small...
Oh, there was a small really, like you never know it, like out of the city, but oh my God, just fabulous food, just terrific food.
You know really. What I was wondering? I'm like, Chaz, you know, I think people get this impression of Chaz as a tough guy, as a, you know, an actor's actor, but not
right.
Not really funny. Do you have a favorite joke, Chaz, like a joke or a dirty joke, anything?
A joke or a dirty joke? Not really. I mean, you know what's funny? God rest his soul, Tony Randall, who I was doing a play with Al Pacino and Tony Randall in New York, and Tony Randall, he used to come into our dressing room, say a joke, and walk out. Every day. Walk in, not even say hello, just say a joke, walk out. And we used to laugh every day. And one day he walks in, and Pacino and I are there, and we're sitting there getting made up, and all of a sudden Randall walks in and goes, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a married couple. They're sleeping. The phone rings. The husband picks it up and says, what? How the hell should I know? We're 50 miles from there, and hangs up. And then the wife goes, what was that? He goes, I don't know. Some guy wants to know if the coast is clear.
Chad,
that joke just cracks me up.
I love
it. It's not a dirty joke, but it just cracks me up.
I actually like picture Tony Randall telling that joke.
Yes. How the hell should I know? We're 50 miles from there. Some guy wants to know if the coast is clear. I mean, that is a funny, funny joke.
Now, Chad, being Italian like Lenny and
yes.
I, what are some of your favorite meals?
Well, I love pasta.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I only eat it on Sunday. Because I always watch my weight, and I work out a lot. But I would say pasta, linguine. Linguine, you know, with clam sauce is another one. Linguine vongole is great. Linguine with red sauce is great. Lasagna, I love raviolis. I just love pasta. I do, so much.
I agree. And tell me if you feel the same way, considering you opened a restaurant, too. If you could make a good linguine with red sauce, then I will try your other food.
I totally agree with you. Yes, I've always said that. I said, if you want to see if a restaurant is really good, there's three things they have to make. Linguine, a linguine with red sauce, a Caesar salad, and a rack of lamb. If they can make those three things, it's probably a great restaurant.
Yeah. I agree.
Really.
So you're a big game.
I'm on a diet, and I just want to, like, you know, get off the diet right now. Thanks a lot,
yeah,
man.
Oh, yeah.
You
too.
Really...
Well, we'll be going to Baltimore to check out Chaz's restaurant. You won't be dying.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think you live in Chicago. Chicago's just a great city. That's my one of my favorite cities. I mean, New York's my favorite, but Chicago's just – I could live in Chicago. I could always say that when I could live in a place, then I know.
People love you out here, Chaz. I don't know if you know this, but every Italian or – not even Italian. I mean, I know tons of people in the city. Everyone has an I Met Chaz Palminteri in Chicago story.
I got to tell you, Chicago, I did 32 cities. Chicago was like in the top three as far as ticket sales. Unbelievable. We sold out constantly. I mean, I cannot even tell you what we did. I don't even remember, but I know it was like – We did over $1.5 million there in just a few weeks. It was unbelievable. I was merchandise. I couldn't pack enough merchandise. Gone off the shelves. Gone. I was like, oh my God, I want to live here. I want to stay here. I couldn't believe it. Yes.
It's funny. I don't want to embarrass Lenny, but his Facebook profile picture for a good season was you and him after one.
After the show. I put that up there, and everyone's like, "Oh, you met Chaz." They were just thrilled. Everyone wanted to ask me, like everyone thought, like we went out and had fun. I'm like, no, it was just a picture. It wasn't anything. But
he stood there in line,
took pictures with everyone. I mean, it was very gracious. I mean, it was well respected, and I was at the end of the line, so and it was great. Thank you for holding out and waiting. Everyone was very appreciative.
You know what? Somebody pays their money to come and see me perform my show, which the show is very special to me. And the people were so great. The least I could do is take photos. You know, my dad used to say, you know, be grateful for the life you have. And, you know, and I was always grateful for my life. And I've been very blessed. And I have a wonderful family and kids. And knock on wood, you know, we're all healthy. And, you know, what is the big deal? So you sit around for an extra 45 minutes to take photos. And it means a lot to people. Come on. Really,
That teaches me, you know, so much too. It's just a respect thing. I love that you do that. I really do love that you do that. I think every actor should be like that. I think it helps with the longevity of someone's career. By the way, how did you get involved in Modern Family in that role, Chaz?
Well, what happened? They just called me up, and you know, Ed O'Neill, I knew, and. And they just said, we think you would be great in this role. And I read it, and I just laughed. I said, oh, this is, first of all, I love the show. It's a funny show.
Right,
it's a very
right.
fun show. And when I read the script, I said, oh, definitely, I'm doing this, yes. And
yeah, Chaz, the gay guy. Who would have seen it?
Yeah, but that's what I loved about it. It was a guy, and you weren't sure if he was gay. Is he gay? Is he not gay? And that's what made me laugh. You know, you really didn't know. One minute, I look like I'm gay, but the next minute, he's not gay. I just found it to be extremely funny and well-written, and, I jumped right at it.
I hope they have you back on that because you were great on it. I was going to ask you, Chaz, you're a huge Yankees fan.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge White Sox fan.
Okay.
So who – I know what you're going to say. Yankees in, five this year, six World Series? What, the Yankees Phils in your mind?
Well, I mean, we got to get there first. I mean, there's still, you know, I mean, look, Boston's still a good club. I mean, I think we'll be there. I absolutely think this is a good year for us because the pitching really came through. I didn't think I was concerned about the pitching, but the pitching has really held up, and I hope it holds up to the end. I think we have a great shot to take it all. But, you know, we're a great, you know, we there's a lot of good clubs, but so I always like to be a little humble, but we'll see. I think we got a great chance to take it all, but I really do.
I think Freddie Garcia has been a nice surprise for you guys.
Yeah, oh, Garcia, now, Cologne.
Yeah,
Nova, all these guys.
Yeah, and Cano's an all-star again. He's a Hall of Famer, isn't he, Chaz?
Oh, yes.
He's good.
I think he will be, yes.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. And I don't think a lot of people outside of New York still know how good Robinson Cano is.
No, they don't. You know, I think he will. You know, he's on a team where, you know, you got to remember he's on a team with Teixeira. He's got A-Rod. You got Jeter, so you know. You sometimes you get overlooked, you know.
Now, Chaz, are you a season ticket guy, or do you just watch every game because you're so busy, or what? What's the Yankees like?
I go to. I mean, I could go to a game anytime I want, so
right.
It's great.
You're you know, friends with the Steinbrenners now by now, Chaz. They know you.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Of course, you can go to any game you want. I know your wife's working on a project as well. Did you want to talk about that? Her website, Hollywood Mom.
Yeah, my wife has this great website called Hollywood Mom, and she speaks to a lot of stars. And she talks about how celebrities are still mothers and wives, and how they keep their life together. And it's just a great website. It's called HollywoodMom.com, and it's just great stories about about the business and about what it's like motherhood. I just think it's terrific.
Good. Let's get the word out on that. And finally, last question for you. This is just a total curiosity thing.
Sure.
And you don't have to tell me because I know how the business is, but did they ever offer you anything on Sopranos?
No.
They didn't?
No.
Wow.
No.
I thought for sure. I'm like, how has Chaz not ended up on this show?
So let me be honest with that. We talked about it at one time, and I couldn't do it at the time, and it just didn't work out. And then after that, no. I think me and John Turturro are the only two people, only two Italians who were not on The Sopranos.
John,
it's a wonderful, it was a wonderful show. Terrific show, very well written, and James Gandolfini was wonderful, and Cass was wonderful. It just, for whatever reason, it just never happened.
Yeah, no, I was always intrigued by that. I was always wondering who turned it down, who didn't, or well, Chaz, you were
thank you guys.
You were in a Bronx original. Your restaurant in Baltimore, 1415 Alice Anna Street, Baltimore, Maryland. www.chazbronxoriginal.com. Check it out with the coal burning oven and the come on now. And Bronx Tale, July 9th?
July 9th to the 27th.
And that is at Caesars in Atlantic
City. Caesars in Atlantic City.
And Chaz, we'd love to come visit you at the restaurant sometime and have you on again once you have a project to promote or whatever. We had fun having you on, I think.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chaz, so much. Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
So now we are officially in overtime, and the interview ended at the exact moment we went in overtime,
yeah,
so that's good.
That's cool.
Chaz, Lenny.
I was intimidated. Yeah. I was intimidated.
We could tell a little bit.
Chaz commentary.
You know what? I thought that was a very good interview, and you guys kept it together.
Didn't blow your load during the interview.
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I didn't say I didn't.
Well, I really regret not being there, but I love a reference to Tony Randall on this. Yeah, very cool. The joke thing. Also, I love that there was one point where you said, I'm an actor. And I love that whatever the guest does on the show,
you're that thing that you go,
yeah, well, in my own comedy experience, in my own screenwriting, I also juggle flaming knives. I love that that's what Matt does, too.
Well, wait till we have Tracy Pendergrass on in my own experience modeling for Maxim.
Dennis, you must have not sold a single fucking copy.
No, her and I got in the same way. Casting couch, pal.
So they wanted that sweet, juicy.
I'm just kidding, Tracy. Maybe you didn't blow any cocks.
Oh,
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. You're a fantastic lady.
Well, good job, Steve. That is out the window now.
All right.
So.
Oh, come on.
No,
oh,
but,
come
but,
on.
Was anyone else a little troubled that 50% of interview was about food.
Always with the cocks. You're Italian. That's okay.
Real mozzarella. The fake mozzarella.
I was just sitting there. I'm like, come on.
I feel like I do a pretty decent Chaz.
I
need to go eat.
Something. Everybody that I know loves talking about food as much as I do.
Love
and Yankees. They go, when you talk about good food, they go, oh, yeah.
Can I
you
do my Chaz impression?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just do Lurch from the Addams Family.
Oh, I love the Yankees. Yes, Robinson Cano. He's a Hall of Famer.
Now he's got a British.
Yeah, now he's British. Yeah,
now he's British.
You know, well,
that was like you were telling stories. No, Turzo was telling stories at the 4th of July.
And he's like, oh, nice.
And he's
an
doing
Indian?
This Mexican guy. Yeah. He was Indian.
Yeah. Right.
He was totally Indian. No Mexican.
No, senor.
No. I'm like, that's not very good, Turzo. Are you an Indian now?
Right, I love that.
So I thought Chaz was
good. You know what? He was very loose. He wasn't withdrawn. He was good.
You know what I like? I like when we have guests. And they invite us places afterwards.
I love that.
We feel regal.
I love that.
No, because now we keep a list of things to do when we're bored.
Boy, we're going to be... All right, so Annabelle Gurwitch is going to help us pick up chicks.
And Chaz is taking
us
to the restaurant.
Chaz is going to take us out to dinner.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just one night.
Yeah, that's it. No, well, and what's funny is Chaz will help us pick up chicks, too. He'll be like, no, Annabelle, no.
No,
right.
You're doing it wrong.
That's
no,
what you got to do. You got to flash.
Go to that classy broad over there. Did he say classy broad?
Oh, that's great.
No, you know what? Not to blow our own balls, but I felt like, compared to anything Chaz has done, that's the definitive Chaz interview. He really opened up. He had a lot of stories.
Has he been on the Actor Studio yet?
I wonder. With that,
even if he, first of all, even if he has, Lipton. This is still the ultimate interview.
Nothing Lipton does is fucking
right. I don't want to know what sound or noise turns him on.
What's your favorite?
What he thinks St. Peter will say when he reaches the pearly gates.
Well, yeah. What's your favorite curse word?
What is your favorite?
No, curse? He was real in this interview. It's kind of like when you're sitting around having a few drinks with him.
So, are we nervous about Gary Sinise Monday now? Now we got
Now I think I'm going to challenge Gary's because I told you to watch the thing on the Colbert Report.
Oh, you're going to tell don't Gary Chaz was great, so now you're going to raise the bar for Gary.
You're
going
to be like, Gary, you're not saying. Much. Why not? Chaz said a whole lot.
Gary, why don't you talk about your restaurant in Baltimore? I don't have a restaurant in Baltimore. Well, what do you got, Sinise?
No, and then he'll go into a spiel about 40 charities.
Yeah, well, I'm in this, and working on that TV show. I did that pilot. I'm in that charity.
No, we did talk about it.
I'm going to be selling lemonade for... Yeah,
we did talk about it yesterday. Lenny and I were talking, and he makes us feel like losers.
Yeah,
because
he
this
does
guy
so
does like 500 charities while working 16 hours a day on his CSI New York.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Unbelievable.
He's the guy from Limitless.
He's doing USO tours. Yeah. He's touring the country performing.
Now, is he trying to take the shoes of Bob Hope? That's something. Like, I mean, he's not taking the shoes of Bob
comedy
Hope.
Comedy-wise?
No, I mean comedy-wise. But, like, he's kind of... Who even took Bob Hope's shoes?
I love those Gary Sinise road comedies.
Can I tell you my Bruce Fretz Gary Sinise story?
Uh-huh.
So I went to Bruce. I'm like, Bruce... And he was listening tonight, Bruce, and he said, we're doing a very good job. That's nice. So I was talking to Bruce, and I go, we're having on Chaz Palminteri and Gary Sinise. And he goes, good luck. And and I go, well, I'm worried about Chaz and Gary because they don't do a lot of interviews, and they seem kind of like serious. And he says, I interviewed Gary Sinise back when he did Of Mice and Men a long time ago, 20-some years. And he said Gary did not, he wasn't very jokey. And then we saw Colbert, and Colbert would be joking with Gary, and Gary would just go, and that was it.
I thought he was going to strangle him.
Like, that was on the money, though, the laugh, right? So I'm like all nervous now, and Bruce says, Jim McCarron said, I shouldn't say this. JM says that Gary Sinise needs an oil can because he looks like the Tin Man in his CSI New York. So I got a little scared.
So Bruce really
I'm a little scared of interviewing
that out
Gary.
Prior to the Gary Sinise interview.
Look, this guy
he's
is
like. So I listen to your show and you said a few things about
this
me.
This guy is an Oscar nominee. He's a multiple Emmy winner.
I know, isn't he an
Golden Globe winner?
Isn't he a winner? Oscar Award winner, isn't he?
He's just a winner.
No, he's a winner in general. But yes, he was nominated.
He wins a lot of things. I like that Bruce Fretz apparently sent something that he really dug the Chaz Palminteri interview.
Yes, he did.
You know, I have to say, he gives me more support and encouragement on what I'm doing than my own dad. I think I should make Bruce Fretz be my dad.
Well, Bruce Fretz told me that I'm his bastard son.
Yeah.
And my grandfather is, I'm the bastard grandson of Gene Shalit.
Okay.
So Bruce is convinced that he came from Gene Shalit's sperm.
Well, your hairstyle is almost as repulsive as his.
Well, and then Bruce and I have the same repulsive goatees. So really, it all comes together when you think about it. Bruce and I have the same repulsive facial hair that women just don't want to deal with.
Then again,
oh, look who's talking. You're a goatee.
You can't
over there,
be. Too. I don't know. You're not like him. That was not fair. I don't know Gene Shalit. He might be a really, he might be a really nice guy.
Bruce had a story about Gene Shalit where he said Gene was very good in the 70s and 80s. You know, like he was a very good critic.
He was a star critic.
Then he just kind of stopped caring. And Bruce went to a movie screening, and Gene Shalit's still alive. He's like 88.
What's
88
that,
or 87. He's writing a book.
Yeah.
And Bruce went to a screening, and it was Gene Shalit and Jeffrey Lyons. And they were sitting in front of Bruce. and they gabbed like a couple old hens the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
And Bruce goes, I don't know if it was the most annoying thing ever or the coolest thing ever. Like, I couldn't decide.
Maybe you had to hear specifically what they were talking about. Were they sharing recipes?
I asked Bruce, and he didn't say he wasn't listening.
Or routes
just,
to work?
He just knew Gene was sitting there the whole time going, man, you know, in that Jewy Gene Shalit voice.
Right.
Jewish Gene Shalit.
Yeah, I'm Gene Shalit, or whatever he said.
Eugene Shalit.
Well, you know, it's who's that critic that always gives the, you know, thumbs up to everything that Hollywood puts out? Joel Siegel. Where's he been?
Joel Siegel died.
Oh, all right.
Siskel.
All right, anyway, that
no,
and
Joel Siegel.
Oh.
No. Joel Siskel.
Joel
died.
Siegel died in 2007.
Was it Joel
Siskel? I just made that up. Pizza.
Joel Siskel died. Joel Siegel. Joel Siegel died in 2007.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
So, way to bring up that salt in the wound.
That guy liked a lot of stuff that wasn't good.
He got in trouble. He got in trouble because it got out that he liked basically every Disney movie that came out. And, of course, Disney owns ABC and Good Morning America. And he would never give a bad review. Like, Heavyweights was 4 stars. And I love Heavyweights. Don't get
me
wrong.
That was a good movie.
It's 4 stars to me.
Yeah.
But it's not 4 stars to Roger Ebert.
Heavyweights.
By the way, Roger never got back to me. What a clown.
No, well, you know, he's...
What a clown that... You know what? I challenge Roger Ebert to come on here and debate me about if he's a clown or not. And if he doesn't, he is a clown. If he doesn't, he is a clown.
So inflammatory.
So unless he says to me he's not a clown, I'm just going to take it he's a clown.
Oh, man. The man just had to sit through a third Transformers movie. Go easy on him.
Oh, and a third jaw transplant.
Decepticons roll out.
Oh, poor Raj. We love you, Raj. It's just jokes, you know? Just jokety, joke.
Actually,
you did like Cop and a Half, though.
Norman
Golden, too, sent his autograph in the mail to you.
Oh, whatever happened to Norman Golden?
He wants to come on the show so
bad.
Oh,
man, we should have him on.
The black kid from Cop and a Half, really?
Yeah.
What am I going to ask him about?
We should have Norman Golden on at another show where we have someone really high up on.
Did Burt Reynolds ever touch you in inappropriate places, Norman? Allegedly. It's just a question. He could say no. I know
Burt Reynolds
would
never be
and
on
you
a
tell
show.
Him, answer us
What's
in
never gonna
answer
be?
Us in a rap.
That mustache.
Answer all your questions in rap.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's a rapper. I do want to hear his rap music.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was in Cop and a Half with Burt Reynolds, yo. And that's the song. That's it.
There's more.
I think that's
There's
it.
More.
Yeah. Oh, is there more?
There's more.
I don't think he even acted it. Should we look up Norman Golden II and go over his resume?
Yeah, please.
Let's have Norman Golden I on.
Yeah, where's Norman Golden I? I want the sperm of Norman Golden II on. They'll probably have more to say.
So who do you got coming on tomorrow, man?
Not Norman Golden II. Thank you for asking.
But ironically, Norman Golden I is going to be on the program tomorrow.
Larry Poindexter will be on tomorrow. Larry Poindexter.
The guy from Nerds?
No, is Buster Poindexter. Larry Poindexter starred in SWAT with Sam Jackson. He's been in every TV show ever. He was on JAG. He was on CSI. He just bought the rights to Cher's life story, and he's going to turn it into a Broadway musical. He has a band that's very good. He's a talented guy. So here's Norman Golden II. Are you ready?
Yeah.
He did a TV series called True Colors where he played a character called Twist. This is when he was younger than Cop and a Half.
Colors.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Cop and a Half, he was what, 9?
Cop and a Half, where he was Devin Butler.
Colors.
That was 93. He was like 9, yeah. There Are No Children Here. On Promised Land. He did an episode of Sisters.
Okay.
With Gila Ward.
Yes, good show. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he played on Sisters. Well, it says Dexter Warren. I'm sure he was the chirpy, smart, like, urban black kid.
Or the
who,
janitor
like,
who fixed the apartment.
Taught Swoozy Kurtz a lesson
just
in
how
life.
Just like how to lighten up.
He helped Swoozy Kurtz find her journey.
Yeah. As...
And he was in Gone Fishing. He played the young Danny Glover, which I forgot about.
Really?
Yes.
I saw that movie in the theater when it came out.
So did I.
In Cocoa Beach, Florida.
So did I. And he was in Moby Dick. the TV miniseries, he played Little Pip.
Okay.
For anyone that's read that listens to our show, which is none of you.
None of you.
But by the way, please buy Annabelle Gurwitz's book. I promise you.
He was in Moby Dick?
Yeah.
It's like, yo, summon Queequeg. It's the great white one.
He actually did two movies where
fucking fish.
He did two movies where he played Danny Glover's son. America's Dream was the other movie.
Well, let's see. My portrayal of as Danny Glover's son in this movie is going to be completely different. I think I'm going to change it up.
And just for our listeners, Annabelle Gurwitz's book has lots of pictures, and they pop up.
No.
Yes. Absolutely. So buy it and prove me wrong.
I like 3D things.
Yeah, no, totally. There's pop-up.
I'm Amazon and shit.
When she's talking about sex positions,
is
like
there a scratch and sniff section?
Whoa.
What kind of book is this? I kind of like this now.
I swear to God, buy Annabelle Gurwitz's book. I swear to God who I don't believe
now,
in
now,
right
Matt
now.
I like this. This sounds like a good book.
There is a scratch and sniff of Annabelle's vagina on page 38.
That's bullshit.
Is there a hole
in
the book?
No, it's not. She put a little pussy juice on each page and scratch and snip it. Swear to you. Buy the book.
Is this a paperback edition?
It's in paperback.
So we got a little hole in the book. Maybe I could put, you know, something.
It comes with that. It's real weird.
Are you using your money voice right there?
You can also blow up the book if you want.
Okay.
It's a blow-up book.
Okay.
And obviously there's some holes
in
it.
And a couple pages are made of Kleenex.
Yes, it does come with a fresh box.
You know,
Kleenex.
I'm going to buy this book and be like, you're a fucking liar.
But isn't that a genius book idea?
No, how much it would cost to produce.
That'll be the Matthew Aaron Show book, except it'll have our pictures
cost
in it.
To produce?
In mass like that quite a bit, I'm sure.
You know Kleenex comes in like 200 a box for like a dollar.
No. But pop-ups and the pussy juice and everything. I mean,
pussy juice is free. All you got to do is wet it up.
Oh, see, he's classy.
No, but you know how many books you got to put that on?
Yeah.
Oh, do you think she's going to dry up?
No.
Are you saying Annabelle's dry?
Well, after I say $500,000 books.
So. Are you saying Annabelle's dry?
No, not at all.
I'll prove you wrong.
Annabelle's my future wife.
Lenny's classy. He doesn't use a tissue or Annabelle's book. He uses a sock. A dress sock.
No, that reminds me.
I love Overtime.
That reminds me. I don't know what I was watching, but they had this thing, and it was like a pocket pussy, but they had a website and everything, and it was like directions.
I don't know how I stumbled on this freaking website.
I think it was like a random video.
I just wound up on...
And it's like by pulling back the top cover reveals a natural lubricated interior. Wow! I don't know. It's a website and they sell a lot of stuff.
I've been to a lot of smut shops for like a while because I think that's
no.
Funny.
This looked like high end professional.
Yes,
stuff.
A top drawer thing. It's not some
the
bag.
Top
of,
drawer.
It's not some bag.
Back of,
the
dresser.
Right. It's not some bag of gook you jerk off into for 9 1/4. It's a real item.
Bag
you
of gook.
Stock in the
bag
vaseline?
Of gook is not racist. We love the Japs. Continue.
Uh-huh.
What? You said gook, not me. Gook.
Yeah, gook.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Haven't you seen Pulp Fiction?
I'm sorry, it was
Alex
gook.
Alex keeps bringing
gook.
Up douche juice.
Yeah, what is with you and the douche juice? You've been trying to sell that phrase.
Oh, wait, I just got a mental image.
No,
that's disgusting.
But he's also been trying to sell that phrase for like a week and a half.
No,
I've heard him say douche juice.
I had
like
dick
50
buddies,
times.
And now he wants
douche
juice.
Yeah, now he wants douche juice.
Trying,
Caesar,
which you
enter
can find
that
in a high C flavor right now.
Yeah,
you guys
want
to talk about Planet of the
Ecto
Apes?
Cooler.
Ecto Cooler and douche juice.
Does anybody want to talk about Planet of the Apes, the new movie coming out?
Oh,
I totally know why you want to talk about this. You're the devil.
What?
So we're in the movie theater the other day.
Oh,
and they're coming out with the new Planet of the Apes, which I think looks pretty cool.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it looks great.
Wait, you know where this is going?
No.
No clue. No clue.
Alex trying to get a new term brought out on the show.
What's the name of the monkey in that?
I think you
sixed
your opportunity.
The name of the ape,
Dr. Zaius,
is Caesar.
Is Caesar in the new movie?
A lot of people have the name Caesar. The guy that played the Joker in the Batman series was named Caesar.
There was a Caesar in the original Planet
of the
Apes.
Yes.
No, we're all sitting there. Caesar, I'm telling you, we're all sitting in Transformers. Like, I'm like, did he just call that Caesar? And then we're like, no. Search for it in the new movie.
A Planet of the Apes.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
You better send that. You better send James Franco a letter.
Tell
him
you're
not
liking
it. You should
do a cease and desist. So every time they say Caesar, they'll say like Frank. Like he'll be like a voice of Frank Mortimer.
Even if he's not in the movie, you should send him a letter.
Thaddeus.
Just send James Franco a letter regardless. Or irregardless, as Italians say.
By the way, Pat Tobias wanted to point out.
No, but you know what? You know what?
Point out.
You know
this
what?
This is perfect. Our interview ended at the exact time Faithful, starring Chaz Palminteri and Cher, started on Stars.
Really?
So you could have gone from one Chaz interview to a Chaz movie.
Andy Serkis?
Yeah, Ryan O'Neal and Chaz Palminteri and Cher.
Cher.
And speaking of Cher.
Have you ever seen the movie Mask?
Yes.
Okay.
Am I allowed to say, because we have Ron Zimmerman coming on.
No.
Do you think I'm allowed to say?
No, if you're asking, no. Well, if you're asking, no.
When has that stopped?
If you're like Blagojevich, is this legal?
All right,
no.
I just, for our listeners, Google Ron Zimmerman and Cher, and you will see the connection and the reference here.
That...
And we have Larry Poindexter on tomorrow, who owns Cher's life story now. Which, by the way, isn't that weird that you're alive and someone owns your life story?
First of all, I think it's great that he's putting that in the form of a musical, because a book...
Well, we'll talk to him about Lee and I.
A book just wouldn't hack it.
No, I think... No, but I think Lee's right. I don't think a book would hack it, because Cher's life's so over the top.
It has to be...
You need to see it on Broadway.
It has to be a musical with a lot of gay men in it. Yes.
I have a feeling you and I... I have a feeling Lee and I are going to have a lot to talk to Larry Poindexter about
tomorrow. Oh, Twyla. Yes.
Pat Tobias called me last night. He's like, you have to brush up on your Poindexter.
No, I like, he's good. He's got that song Hot, Hot, Hot. And,
yeah.
It's,
I love Pat Tobias. He's so funny.
I got that on my iPod.
Shit. Really? Hot, hot, hot.
That's actually part of my workout.
Hot, hot, hot.
Song's awesome. Nah.
You don't work out.
I go on
5 a.m. I jog 5 miles. Bullshit.
I didn't say 5 miles.
Yeah, no, you
half
asked
a
me,
mile maybe.
You asked me to jog 5 miles.
I told
miles
you to come
morning.
Work out with me. By the way, can we still go get a Portillo's?
I think they're closed in 10 minutes.
God damn you all! What time is Lumon Eyes open?
Well, when you do
a, that, closed an hour
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, when you do a 3-hour show, nothing's going to be open at the end of it. So
there's got to be a greasy spoon out there.
Christ.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not past 2:00.
Alex. All right. You know what?
Well, I got to stop by the smoke shop tonight because I have to talk some shop.
What smoke shop?
The
are we going to
Pilot?
Are we going shop? Cigars and Stripes? Or are we going to get wings? When you said smoke shop, I'm like, Cigars and Stripes, wings?
No, that wasn't my thought. My thought. I have to stop by the smoke shop to where people smoke.
Yeah.
Do that sound effect again.
When they do it.
And you may want to record this item for future.
No. Reasons. No, my pop smoking sound effect.
What's Matt doing? Boy, I can't even do
why
it.
Why am I sucking on a tiny dick?
Yeah, right. Where I might want to stop at the smoke shop and put my thumb and forefinger up to my lips. Wait a minute.
Oh, fuck me. Okay. Are we out of stuff?
Yes.
Should I play a song?
Yeah, I'm spent.
What song do we want to hear before we go?
God, the show.
I got an idea. All right. Fade us out.
This show is like a bowel movement after Benihana.
Lee and I will be back tomorrow night after we come from the porn convention. We may have some surprises.
All right.
See you then.
I long to hold you tight, 'cause I'm so alone. Thank you.
inside, darling. It makes me feel.